Welcome to This Is Only a Test. This is episode 47, 48. I don't know. My voice is gone. I'm kicking my shoes off. Let's start the show. I'm Will Smith. I'm sitting here today on my right, Norman Chen. Say hello, Norm.
Hello. I have all the energy.
Hello, Matt Braga, directly to his right.
Hello.
You have the youthful
Matty
vigor.
Matty B.
The youthful vigor that I got nothing. That's a lie. I'm full of vigor.
We got Matty B and also Mel D.
Mel D on the couch answering
Hi.
Questions from
What's
the chat.
That?
Anna's on the mixer. Shout out, Anna.
What up, y'all?
Joey's tables.
Editing furiously.
We need turntables.
Man, we just came back from recording an album.
We do not need turntables. Okay, so let's jump right into the show. This is day three of the show. The last day we're going to be here. It was a ghost town today. Like, you could walk around. I only got hit once by somebody.
Oh, yeah, you get elbowed. Like, there
right.
was very little elbow.
I didn't have to work the elbows at all.
The clothesline
was really nice.
Did not work as well.
What else? What else? They didn't have any press lunches today.
No.
That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, we actually had to pay for lunch.
That was horrible.
Crying.
But yeah, you know, we went someplace we hadn't been before today. We went into the bowels of the convention center. We saw, you know, yesterday we talked about all the big booths. So, you know, the LG, the Samsungs, the people spend millions of dollars on their booths.
It's like today. These flashy surface streets, right? It's like, you know, your top layer where all where the Jetsons live.
Yeah.
Today went to the Flintstones.
Yeah, down below. So
Boondocks.
But so we went and saw a bunch of guys in small booths. A lot of cool stuff, a lot of kind of janky stuff. You know, it's
I
up
would
and
say,
down.
Hey,
mostly
well,
janky stuff.
Okay.
Let's rephrase that.
A few cool things.
A few cool things.
Moderately cool things.
Some things that were definitely not cool, but could be misconstrued as cool.
We could make inappropriate jokes. We'll
and
be honest.
And then a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, there was a lot of
shit. This has been my week.
We're not going to show you the shit. We're just going to get straight to the cool and or the easily made fun of. Or maybe not so easily made fun of. Let's see. Well, let's start with the Robot Pavilion. We went to the Robot Pavilion today. CES Robot Pavilion, straight from Japan, home of robots. No, it was. It
no,
really
no,
is
no,
straight
no,
from
no,
Japan.
Yeah. The guy,
I'm not racist.
Yeah.
Not racist.
No, wait. Racist, but also not racist.
The guy said, straight from Japan...
Will, you're an asshole.
Kind of an asshole. You're affable, Braga.
It was this. So the Robot Pavilion in years past has been, it was usually much bigger. It's usually at the Kensho Hall in the Sands Convention Center right next to the AVN, the Adult
like,
Entertainment.
Well, and also with like the Linux stuff. It was kind of like a robot ghetto
right
over
next
there.
To the Venetian. This year, and I think also last year, Robot Pavilion has been reduced to three aisles.
This
year's
two aisles.
Small, maybe two aisles.
Two aisles.
Very small aisles.
But kind of long aisles. Like 30
not
feet.
Not super.
10 booths.
Not impressive in terms of floor space. But don't get me wrong, menacing as fuck, okay?
Yeah, we saw this baby seal therapeutic robot today that literally scared the shit out of Norm. He ran screaming from the room. And it was a big room.
Yeah, there was a lot of... Zemeckis creep dolls going.
Yeah, it was kind of like the
Uncanny
Polar Express.
Valley.
Yeah.
Uncanny Valley for
full effect.
Seals.
Yeah.
The seals were sucking on these pacifiers, but actually that's how they charge their batteries.
And did you see the warning label on the – so these are seals that they're supposed to give to old people so they have something to, you know, kind
Wait,
of
– Wait, seriously? They're for
yeah,
seniors?
Yeah, they're therapeutic senior robots. And they're to give them something to... It's like a pet. It's a robot pet.
Yeah.
But that can't die from, you know, forgetting
neglect.
To feed, water, need
from
to go
clubbing.
Out, and stuff like that. But you put a pacifier in its mouth to charge it. But the bizarre thing is, on the label is a thing that says, do not put this in your mouth. It will electrocute you.
That's right. Let's
so,
get a steel pacifier to charge it.
Not good.
So, but not for babies who love...
We did see one really cool robot, I thought. The unfortunate thing about this robot is it was actually made by Cyberdyne.
Cyberdyne Systems.
It wasn't Cyberdyne. Well,
Cyberdyne Incorporated. Familiar name.
Yeah. August 23rd, 1997.
Maybe near.
Judgment Day.
We're not going to spoil all the robots.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. We'll give one more highlight. There was a robot. Oh, this is the con. There was a, we walked by, and there was a robot that was like...
This was a Japanese
tall,
robot,
maybe
too.
Maybe like 3 feet tall, totally Japanese robot on wheels, had eyes that blinked, and arms that came out of the side like a gorilla, and claws, basically claws. And it would say things like, do not be afraid of my eyes. My programmers are not, you know, I'm still a beta project or something, right?
That was a different robot, but okay.
Whatever. And then it followed me.
Yes,
came
it
out of the crowd and chased me.
It literally chased you into the aisle.
And what would be scary until you looked at the booth and there was this guy just standing there with hands behind his back, clearly holding
PlayStation controller. Yeah.
PlayStation controller.
Thumbs down. But the good news is, you were able to get away from the robot before anything bad happened.
I found its weak spot. You hit it for massive damage.
Yes.
Hey, K9 wants to know if there are any robots from the iRobot guys.
We have seen iRobot guys. They weren't actually in the robot pavilion.
No, they have their own booth. They're a real company.
They're big.
Yeah. It's like, actually funny.
Well, hold on. The Robot Pavilion people are like, it's like science, it's like research projects, it's college students, it's stuff like that.
It's robots they can take risks with. You know,
They're there for the people who would like buy these robots and distribute them and turn them into actual products, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's like technology demo.
iRobot is a real product. They make robots in a very like literal sense. These are just machines that have chips and they can and have some kind of programming.
They drive Clean around, robots, the vacuum robot. Your floor.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about yesterday. We saw at the LG booth the LG
Homebot.
Homebot. I am Homebot. A Roomba knockoff that you can control with your Android phone with an app.
It has an app. But the thing that's neat about it is, you know, the thing I don't like about the Roombas, I have old furniture, so I don't want hard plastic banging into my furniture all the time.
And the Homebot also will feed your dog accessory.
Yes. The Homebot uses optical sensors to actually see how your room is laid out. So instead of just smacking into your furniture over and over again, the Homebot just says, oh, hey, there's something over there. And I shouldn't drive there.
Tying this into the iRobot, when we were there at the LG booth doing our video for the Homebot, there was a guy
taking
video.
Imagine a world, Norm. Imagine a world.
Ease down.
Imagine a world where your robot vacuum can feed Chloe bananas.
There's a guy who was shooting a video of us with the iPhone 4.
Imagine a world where a man shoots a video with an iPhone 4.
He worked for iRobot. So imagine there's a lot of corporate espionage.
Where a man works for iRobot.
Imagine a world where you can buy concert tickets from an ATM.
No way. Mel D, any questions from the chat?
Smallville123 asked earlier if they were slimy. Is that a relevant question?
The robots?
Yes.
Robots with slime. I don't think we're quite there
they
yet.
There were no tentacle robots, if that's the underlying question.
We saw the Pleo, and we actually didn't shoot video of the Pleo. The Pleo is the robot dinosaur.
Norm hates the Pleo.
I dislike the Pleo. It is creepy. But what's more creepy is that next to the production models they have on display are the behind-the-scenes models where they tear the skin off the Pleo.
That's what I wanted to see.
That's the creepy stuff. And I could imagine, and there was no slime there, but if there was ever a slime on robot, it would be slime connecting the actual mechanical parts to the fake, you know, clone skin.
Worst thing I saw today, robot front, I saw Awesomeo. There was a dude in a robot suit pretending to be a robot.
It was awful. It was not awesome.
That poor guy had to have the most uncomfortable costume at the show.
Yeah.
Because that thing had to chafe.
How would you control that? Like foot?
No, he was... I mean, it was all articulated.
Like it was rolling.
Yeah, it rolled.
And
he had some type of synthesizer, so when he talked, it would come out in a very, very good robot voice.
Like Stephen Hawking voice?
And also... No, it was a very, like, very...
Better.
It had personality.
Right,
it was like a vocoder or something, probably. It was like a simple effect, not something...
Like
not a
Jingle
feature.
All the Way type of...
Maybe he was typing with his tongue.
And it was very animated. Like, his mouth would move along, like, when he talked. There were lights everywhere. And he would interact...
It was a good costume.
...with the audience.
Yes.
And he would, like...
That's what it was, a costume.
Yeah. I am Awesomeo 5000. Tell me your
dreams. It was an abomination.
I will read your mind. Mel D?
SS Davis _ CPCS wants to know if there are any big news from HTC.
I think that's Davis CPS.
Yes. HTC announced a bunch of phones. We actually did not have Stop by the HTC booth. I don't think
I didn't see them on the floor. I think they must be in suites someplace. We aren't cool enough to get invited to suites yet. We're working on it.
They did a bunch of new phones, their LTE phones. We posted on the site. We did not get hands-on with them, so you have to get a read about them.
Their LTE phones, I looked at the press release. It was a little underwhelming. It looked like kind of versions of current phones, like the Desire HD and stuff like that, just with new chipsets
but
to do LTE.
What we did get to see, and that's a perfect segue, I will say in advance, and something that was innovative and was impressive, was the Motorola Atrix.
This might be my product of the show. I haven't decided yet. But the
Motorola.
The Atrix is... It's an Android 2.2 Froyo smartphone, 1 gigahertz dual core processor.
They won't say who makes the chip, which is important because it's not the only dual core Android phone. LG has one, which they touted as the Tegra 2.
Right.
Yep.
But Motorola, who traditionally uses Texas Instruments chips, and Texas Instruments has announced
the
has a dual core OMAP chip. This is what we expect them to be using. This is probably the same chip also in the Motorola Zoom that we saw yesterday. So the Atrix. I think there are probably two very, very notable features about the Atrix. Would you agree? Two? Mm-hmm. First is its screen. Maybe three.
Okay. Yeah. The screen's bigger than normal. Bigger, higher resolution
Not not physically bigger.
960 by 580?
Yeah, they call it QHD, lowercase Q, and it's a quarter of full HD resolution.
Well, quarter 1080p.
Quarter of 1080p. Yeah. So half in each
dimension. So 1920 by 1080 divided by 2, basically.
Well, 1920 divided by 2 is...
So it's 960.
960. And then 1080 divided by 2 is 540.
540.
So 960 by 540. Which is a weird resolution.
It's what's for dinner.
Maths with an S. But it also looked really good. I mean, I think you could kind of still see the pixels. They said, oh, it's very close to the Retina display. And it is.
It looked Retina display-esque.
Someone in chat, go dig up our pixel density story and figure it out.
The pixel. Well, it's a bigger screen because the iPhone is still 3.5.
You gave an order with authority there, Braga.
Well, I'm Maddie curious. I want to know. I want to wield my power in a manner that makes the readers and the audience.
You have no power.
What are you talking about?
Your power? No power. You just made a fist. That's not wielding power. That's the way you hold the Moto Zoom.
I didn't get to use the Zoom.
Okay, nobody gets to use the Zoom. Stay back on
topic. Motorola Atrix. So in addition to the screen, which was really nice, the processor. Was very fast. I mean, I think it was probably one of the fastest, even though it was running Froyo, fastest.
It's impossible to say performance.
I'm just saying from an interactive judgment call standpoint. I'm not crediting this just to the processor. I'm crediting it to both the processor and the integration of the UI and software.
I'm just saying, after the Samsung Galaxy S debacle last year, which looked really fast on show floors,
and then they
get to consumers and looked terrible. This is too controlled. We'll judge performance when we have real phones, not bullshit floor prototypes. But it looked really good.
It looked really good.
But you haven't even gotten to the cool thing about the Atrix.
So that's part one.
Yeah.
Part two is the WebTop OS. So in addition to having Android built into the phone, there is a separate custom operating system that you can actually use when you plug the phone into a TV, your PC. Or specially made laptop dock, which is nothing but a screen, battery,
keyboard. Not into your PC, into a monitor, keyboard, and mouse.
A monitor, keyboard, and mouse, yes.
There's a dock. The dock has HDMI port, three USB ports, one for storage.
You don't even need to use the dock. The dock is just nice.
Well, the dock lets you use USB. If you have a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, you can just connect them directly to HDMI, and you can turn like this TV right here in this hotel room could be a monitor for this phone.
Basically a netbook.
Yeah. And the way it works is...
Well, I'll say that the dock will let you charge the phone as well. Because even though you can use HDMI to do it, it will drain the battery.
Yeah, so you'd have to have like 16 plugs plugged in there.
So the dock, we'll use the TV as an example because it's a pretty good example. So you plug the Atrix into the dock and the dock's connected to the TV via HDMI. It will output 1080p.
Yeah.
Which is higher resolution than on the phone.
Right.
With this, basically, it's like a splash top. It's comparable to splash top. I would say a little better.
It seems like a super tablet, but you can use a mouse and keyboard with it.
Yep. You can use a mouse and keyboard. And that makes all the difference.
Well, I think the best part of this OS is the mobile mode.
You mean the laptop mode?
No, the mobile mode.
The
floating window.
So you have right side is like a Firefox window, something like that. Left side
it's an overlay.
It's still a window manager. Like, you still have windows.
Yeah, there are essential windows.
It's just that, think of it this way.
Imagine a
world.
Moratorium.
Okay. I'm calling this podcast the Imagine
Think of
World
Android
podcast.
OS running in a virtual machine and that window, but it's actually your Android OS.
Yes. So even though you're in the web top, you click a button on the bottom left-hand corner, and it pops up a window that is your Android phone. And you can interact.
Oh,
basically, you have your Android phone.
They did not get that to me at all
virtually.
The way I shot that video.
This is why you take the
Very
phone
cool.
briefing.
Well,
this the virtual Android, you can access all your contacts. You can make phone calls.
Yep.
Oh, I did get that.
You can actually run the apps that you have on your Android phone within the window that's on the WebTop OS. It's basically running two things at once.
So the WebTop is like a pre-boot environment on a laptop or a desktop or something like that, right?
It's functionally, it is similar to a pre-boot environment, but the fact that it has Windows and the fact that it can run your virtualized Android UI and run it full screen
but
or minimized.
Really, it seems like it's not virtualized. It seems
well,
like
it's not virtualized. It's not.
It seems
I'm
like
just saying it that way because that's the best.
You know what it's like?
It's like
two. It's almost like running like having two instances of a window
of
manager
a virtual
running
machine.
On. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, like more on like Linux. You know how on Linux you can technically, theoretically, run multiple window managers at the same time.
No,
that's
of course.
Basically what it is.
Oh, that's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I assume. I mean, it has to be because both of them run full speed.
Or they could be running a virtual. They could be virtualizing at the real low level. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's super cool.
It's super cool. I will also say that.
Talk about the hardware. Talk about the laptop plug because that's the coolest thing.
That is the cool. They have a separate piece of hardware, which looks like a very thin laptop. I think it's like 2.5 pounds.
It's exactly 2.5 pounds.
But what it is it's a screen. All it has is a screen, a keyboard.
Imagine a screen.
No. It's like
it's gotta be corner time. Don't make me get
right. Nose
out.
Of the corner, Braga.
It's a screen.
It's 12.5 or 13 inch screen.
It has
it
a full
really
keyboard.
Bright, nice.
USB
Chiclet
ports.
Keyboard.
But in the back where the hinge is, where the screen pops up, that's actually the dock for your phone.
Yeah.
So you put the dock there and the screen pops up and it turns into the WebTop mode.
Yeah.
And basically you turn your phone
into a laptop.
It's
the same thing that happens.
Into a netbook.
So the other thing that's important to mention is if you plug it into your TV and you want to use it to watch movies, listen to music, stuff like that, then there's a separate entertainment hub from the WebTop mode.
Yes, there's a skin
that's
you
almost
play
like a streaming box or something like that.
Exactly. The other thing is that I tested the web browser. They had that connected to the Wi-Fi, and the web browser I thought was much better.
It was
than
Firefox
Flash
for Android, though, right?
It was Firefox.
Oh, it's Firefox, but it's ARM Firefox, I guess.
Are you talking
about WebTop?
On WebTop.
The WebTop.
You know what? It was weird. I went into the About menu, and it's Firefox.
The what menu?
Yeah. No, what?
What
I
menu?
Went to the About Fire.
Wait.
What menu was that, man?
Wait.
The About menu.
Thank you.
There we go. They've been waiting for that
He's
one.
Canadian.
Flapping heads.
Matt, your roommate is watching.
He's on the live chat?
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay.
So you went to the...
I went into the About menu of
that
Firefox.
That was good. That was close.
And it says Firefox for Ubuntu.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought was quite interesting.
So I bet they're running a ARM Ubuntu splash shop. Like it's on an Asus motherboard or any of those things.
So
that's crazy.
The web browsers, I thought, very fast. They were demoing YouTube on it, and it was playing Flash. I went to test it.
Yeah.
I played one of our videos. I could pop the video full screen.
Bam.
It was 30 FPS.
And there's a brief transition when you switch from splash shop to or WebTop to OS, normal OS. But it's pulling it off the dock is super fast. It goes back to normal.
It's not deal-breaking.
No. It's not bad at all. Available first quarter.
And here's the interesting thing. Most interesting thing that's not feature related. It's AT&T.
Interesting.
It's an AT&T phone.
Why is that interesting, Norm?
It's interesting because I think it's the most compelling AT&T phone for Android.
It's instantly
AT&T
the AT&T
instantly,
phone leader.
Right, because before you use the Samsung Captivate, LG, I think the Optimus is a GSM phone, or the Black is a GSM
there
phone.
There were GSM AT&T phones, but
this one
no
is
deals yet.
Motorola's first big AT&T phone.
What was the revolution?
Revolution is LTE. That's what the Revolution is for GLTE.
Well, what's the Tegra one then?
Tegra one is Optimus.
That's
2.
The Optimus.
But what's the
that is quad band GSM.
Oh, okay. No announcements yet, right?
No announcements yet.
Okay.
The Motorola Atrix is AT&T, and I think it's going to come up before the new iPhone, and so I think it's going to make it a very interesting competition.
And Bell Mobility in Canada.
There you go.
Oh,
I've got lots of chat questions.
Lay it on us, Melody.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay. Clumsy Ninja wants to know what, if any, CS phone
is.
Would
hold on.
Buy.
Is this really Jack Black? Oh no, that's Clumsy Kung Fu Panda.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
What was the question?
Clumsy Ninja wants to know what CS phone would you buy that you saw?
Garrett, come to the other door.
Oh, I got it.
On is running. Be careful. The table's on.
I think if you asked us yesterday what we thought was the best phone out of CES, we would have said the LG Optimus 2X because of the HDMI out, the mirroring, the Tegra 2 dual core.
The HDMI out, I worry that the HDMI out on that phone is a us feature, not a real person feature.
I think if you asked me today, it would be the Motorola Atrix.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering Mr. McFeely. I mean, Gary.
Oh, wait, Matt.
We're late night talk showing this one.
Maintain the order.
Ghost number one, guest number one, it's scoots
not so,
down.
Not so much a late night talk show as I got to sit next to the widow.
Norm just has to.
Okay, we're talking about the Atrix. We're talking about the CES. Well, let's wrap this. Let's wrap this talk up. We'll see how you've been doing.
Okay.
Optimus yesterday. Now Atrix for you.
I'd say Atrix.
Are you going to finally drop iPhone? Is this your Android phone?
Well, things will get infinitely more complicated 2 months from whenever the Atrix comes out, because then Verizon will have iPhone. And it'll be after CTIA.
It's going to be like it is in Canada right now.
I think HTC is waiting for CTIA to make their real big next-gen announcements.
I think we'll see a lot of phones up at CTIA,
But out of CES, the Atrix is my top phone.
Interesting. Okay, Gary, how's your day going?
I could tell you how I spent my day, but I fear you would hate me for it.
What did you do?
I did the exact opposite of what you did today.
So I worked hard all day. You played poker all day.
No, go to the way other extreme of
so day starts
hard.
You had a massage.
I had a spa day.
Oh, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
And you know what?
I'm gonna be the big man today. I'm glad that you had a nice day.
I appreciate that. I'm not going to be the big man. I'm going to admit,
you deserve
I think Norm
a good
has
day.
Infected me with his zero-sum psychology. Yes. Because when he talks about how a win doesn't feel truly like a win unless
somebody else
is losing,
that's right.
As I was enjoying my Swedish deep tissue massage, it was made all the more invigorating and relaxing by knowing that you were walking around CES carrying heavy tote bags, feeling exhausted. Your dogs are barking.
I had the best. This has been the best CES I've ever been to. I mean, I've had
taking
more fun
the shine
here.
Off my enjoyment.
I've had more fun here than I've ever had at CES. This is the first time I've ever seen. I feel like we saw almost the entire show floor.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we got not quite total coverage, but I think we got solid like 87% coverage. I'm glad you had a nice day, though, Gary.
I had a wonderful day. I had a nice massage.
You look like you maybe had some face.
I had a scalp massage.
Okay.
I took a steam in the steam room.
Okay.
Did the kind of the hot and cold.
Did you get the branches? Did they do the Russian thing?
No, they didn't
hit
me with any. There wasn't any new age stuff.
Oh, I like the branches are.
No, there were no reeds or anything.
We had SpaCast yesterday.
Where did you get it?
At the Luxor, just because that's where I am, and I was too lazy to go anyplace else.
You don't
want to
walk in a bathrobe
but
down
it was
a strip.
It was an excellent spa. I'm thoroughly invigorated.
I like the diagonal elevators in the Luxor.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're inside a whole massive pyramid. It's pretty
exactly.
cool.
It's just inside. Just looks just like the outside.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
it's what you'd imagine the inside of a pyramid to look like.
Before we go any further,
soulless,
basically full of the walking dead.
Yeah. Okay, mummies.
Gary, they want you to take your shoes off.
Yeah, it's shoes off, cast, Gary.
True.
See, this is where it starts. The next thing you know, they'll be asking you to put. Shoe on head. You cannot fulfill every audience win. I'll take the shoes off. That's as far as it goes.
You said that there were more questions.
I've got lots of questions for you.
Lay some on us.
So Bio Moose and Smallville123 want to know if you're going to tech up the MakerBot now that you've seen the new hotness.
I have never felt quite as inadequate as I have. Here's the thing. MakerBot, I love the MakerBot. I love the videos we do. It is a crazy expensive device. I don't know that I can justify spending that much money on more MakerBot at this point.
We've made many improvements to the MakerBot.
We're two grand in the hole in the MakerBot right now.
Improvements to the MakerBot since it was built around March or April. And the Thing-O-Matic is a completely new generation of MakerBot. So we can't just keep on adding stuff. It needs to be a new kit. And I think
we need $1,000 in
by hand. You've invested. It's like a child. You can't just throw
I love
a child.
It. I love
get
it.
A new one.
On the other hand, I also really love that cantilever build platform because you know that's good. That 90% of the problems I've had in the last 3 months with the MakerBot have been a result of Z platform wobble, which the cantilever build platform completely eliminates. So maybe the next time I have a rage explosion at the MakerBot. We'll upgrade.
So
next question.
Did I miss the tech chat? Did I miss? Because I was hoping to hear what you guys liked at CES.
No. We haven't even got. We're just talking about what we've seen. We talked about Atrix.
We talked about the Android phone, so you don't really care.
Yeah,
I don't care about the Android phone.
So plenty more to talk about.
Hey, I saw a MacBook today. You know, the funny thing about CES, I hardly ever see Mac stuff.
They do their own thing. Oh, you mean like third-party Mac stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you don't go in. There's no Mac Pros around. It's totally a Wintel show.
Yeah.
I saw Mac McGare over in the North Hall today. I was really surprised.
Okay.
No eating, Chan.
I'm eating. I'm looking some soup.
Never be eating.
AngelFan91 and HKZ are very curious if you actually bought that massage chair, and does your wife know if you did?
Okay, so last night, I have actually FaceTimed more in Vegas than I ever have before, because it goes over Wi-Fi, so it works even when AT&T fails.
Which is all the time, yeah.
Right, and we have great Wi-Fi in this hotel. This hotel.
Well, we brought our own routers.
We brought two routers.
Yes.
But shout out to Planet Hollywood, because it's great internet here. I mean,
oh, yeah.
This is never have good hotel
yeah,
internet.
Yeah, very. I mean, you're streaming live. We're running live internet.
We got to have like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 laptops.
Couple iPads, shitloads of phones. Yeah.
All using one wired internet connection. Yeah.
And hotel internet is notorious for being really shitty.
Yeah. So props to the PH, man.
This is good.
I did not actually buy the chair. It was not a situation where you could buy one on the floor.
I'm considering it.
Gary.
After I saw that video, by the way, was bordering on pornographic.
I'm afraid that people are going to edit that and make me look kind of.
I would love to see a mashup version of that.
Let's be perfectly clear. You are sitting on in a Las Vegas suite. There are professional cameras. We have good lighting. We're literally a couple of women away from
a
casting
whole other
couch
industry.
Here. Yeah, yeah, I mean, this is not good.
Yeah.
Not good. But yeah, didn't actually buy it. That might have been a little hyperbole.
Well, you said it was $4,000, and when
it's $4,700,
you're going to be looking at a bill for over $5,000.
The thing is, what I heard when they told me the price, what I heard was more than you're ever going to be able to spend on one piece of furniture without getting divorced.
And it's huge. I mean, you'd need like a whole separate room for it, which may be good. You may be more privacy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to shuck down. Get in your
I would put it in a locked room because I would not allow anyone else to sit in the chair.
You don't want
like
anybody
Larry
else's
I wouldn't want anyone else sitting in my massage chair.
Business opportunity. Open like a brothel like business where you have rooms and just have the chairs.
A brothel like business.
Where you just
have the chairs and they pay.
Yeah.
Clients, patrons come pay to get massage in the chairs. Yes.
But I have no interest in other
Gary
people
want
getting
a
massages for profit. I just want a massage.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. You may think that chair's expensive. We saw massage chairs on the floor today, even more expensive. $7,000.
Wow.
Straight from Japan, designed by Shiatsu Masters. These people were more blissed out than I was.
I mean, in a world where you can spend $1,500 on a 3-foot HDMI cable, I suppose anything is possible. Yeah.
Well, but the thing about the chairs we saw today is they did the arms, too.
That's right. It was truly full body.
But you traded something big. Yeah.
It didn't look like it could never pass it off as a recliner. This was a massage machine. Your arms were covered on both sides, and they had like 7 of them in a row, and just the look on their faces.
And sold labels on all of them.
It was a conception. These people were, they were in limbo.
The argument that we tried to make last night about the massage chair, you saying like, I would love to have this chair, but you know, my wife would obviously never allow me to make such a crazy purchase, is that you can imagine the scenario where she's like, oh, what did you do? I can't believe it. And then you just like push her into the chair. And she instantly goes, oh, I take it all back. This is the best thing you've ever bought. Yeah, exactly. I mean, would that work?
No.
Oh.
No. Not at all. So, the ones we saw today really did look like hibernation pods.
Oh, yeah. They would look like alien abduction pods.
If you put a plastic hood over it, if you put some sort of plastic, like a top thing over it, it literally...
Is it like a sensory deprivation type pod?
There was no lid. But if you had made a lid for it,
you could make
like
a metal strap.
Like a visor thing that went...
That would be awesome.
You could combine
that. Because you want a scalp massage, too.
You'd get the Sony thing on there at the same time. You double up.
Oh man, massage and a movie. Oh, whoa!
That is the future.
That's virtual reality.
Rub me and entertain me all you want.
Every
technology.
Single sense being stimulated: touch,
yes.
Sight,
yes, smell-o-vision.
Yeah. You need something to be eating in there, I suppose.
I just get one of those foie gras funnels where I just lay there with my mouth open and they keep pouring food in.
Or maybe that new Tropicana.
We're getting close to Wally.
That juice slurry that they now manufacture can just be piped into your face.
We're not giving them any press.
I'm going to give it a quick tangent, something we got to do on the live show before we don't have the opportunity for this live show anymore. Someone asked if I had Pocky. And that reminded me we have a mailbag.
I'll go get it.
What's the mailbag?
You know, we do mailbags. People, fans.
I know, but why do you have one right now?
Because someone gave us a gift on the floor.
Oh.
Well, y'all, it's already open.
No. I couldn't fit in my bag wrapped. I'm repacking. This is Hollywood magic here.
Wow.
Except we're not really Hollywood. So, tested reader John, who I think works in the industry, so we may not want to like give last names and stuff.
Yes.
But is a longtime friend of the site. Has sent us, was traveling in the Far East, it seems, and brought some delectable treats. So, live mailbag. This is going to be a terrible podcast segment, and I apologize for that. Norman Chan, do the honors.
I think there are three things in this
I'm
bag.
I'm going to paint a word picture. There is a Happy Christmas bag. It is red
and green. It's like a wine bag.
Yeah, it's like a wine bag. Exactly.
It's red and green for Christmas.
It's Christmas.
There are three boxes there. The first box.
Oh my god, it's Coffee Pocky.
Coffee Pocky.
Oh, caffeinated.
It's the greatest Pocky ever.
That's going to be the ultimate tested food product.
It's the ultimate normal food
Second
product.
Object.
What is that?
Potato Spicky.
I don't know if
that's racist. I'd be honored to that one. I got that one in.
Wait, that's what
that's set a up. Photo finish. That's,
wait, and also, Matt, you might appreciate this. It is cheese flavor with the O-U-R.
Oh, English cheese spelling.
Flavour. That's how it's correctly spelled.
That's the right way. He goes through all my posts and removes the U.
That's how the English people who invented English spell it.
This product is called Potato Spicky.
Spicky.
You know, this isn't... I made a mistake.
Is this a savoury Pocky ripoff?
Wait, the third item.
This is the Coffee Pocky. I don't know what this one is. It's just written in Japanese. We're going to have to open it up and taste it, I think.
Oh, is that
can we taste it live?
We can taste it live right now.
Do a live tasting.
Perks, people. Perks.
While they're opening, how about a question from the chat, Melody?
I've got a question from Eugene.
Hey, Eugene.
Any new...
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Like the place or the person?
It's spelled E-U-J-I-N.
So don't open everything.
Okay. Well, maybe he just can't spell. Maybe that's where he lives. He just doesn't know how to spell it.
Or username is taken already. I don't know. So any new Pixel Q screen stuff or Notion Ink
Atom
tablet, which you can also use the mouse keyboard with it.
Excuse me. Did not see the Notion Ink Atom tablet on the floor.
It's Pretzel Pocky.
It's a
Pretzel stick with chocolate.
Which ones? What does Mel D want?
Pocky.
Okay, so I'm okay. Let's share this.
Don't open it.
I'm throw it at you like a dog.
Okay. All right.
No, that's a terrible. Oh, okay.
My throw was good.
It was.
Oh,
good.
Melissa, don't. Oh my god.
I'm gonna try.
It hit the couch and then she touched it.
Five-second rule applies. Actually, that doesn't apply in Vegas.
This is the gassing. The horrible things that have happened in this.
You'd be amazed what could happen on the floor in Vegas in 5 seconds.
I have said it before. I bet you blacklight this couch. It glows like the sun. Let me have the.
Wait. I'm gonna describe this.
Good.
For the podcast listeners.
Not bad at all.
Let me
potato
describe
it.
I know.
I didn't think the pretzel and chocolate would
You may not describe it with your mouth.
I'm usually not a big fan of pretzels, but.
This is making me think those pretzel M&Ms might have something going for them.
The pretzel M&Ms are big money. I love them.
Potato Spicky is made by Glyco, which is the same company that makes Pocky.
Glyco sounds like a weapons company or something.
It smells like a cheesy puff, like a Cheetos.
I like cheesy puffs.
But it is a stick. Is the diameter is, I think, probably...
We got to cut this tangent short. Go faster, Jim.
And
how's the flavor?
Mmm.
Does that just have a pleasing flavor?
Flavor?
Okay,
everybody gets... bite. Eat these.
I've got the no more crunching. What does that mean?
No more crunching. I'm biting.
While you're
did this backwards. We ate the sweet first and the savory second.
Maybe that's
how they do it in Japan.
Falco Eagle wants to know if you saw Qualcomm's Mirasol display.
Oh, yeah, we did. I did.
Can we just eat the spaghetti and not talk about
it? Back on topic. No more crunching. Never be crunching. Melissa is like letting the delectables melt in her mouth before chewing at this point, making funny faces as she does it. The Qualcomm Mirasol display, we looked at this. We did a video, a quick look at this, hands-on, whatever, a few months ago. Those prototypes that we saw before were very clearly like handmade, super engineering-y prototypes. I actually took a quick look at one today. It looked much more polished. The frame rate seemed a lot better. It still has that kind of weird metallic reflective sheen. I mean, you saw it, right, Matt?
Yeah.
It's not ideal, but it's getting better. So,
and there are no real products yet. Like
it's not ready for real products.
Yeah.
It doesn't look right for real products, but it is definitely looking better. And if they continue to improve at this pace, then in a year, 9 months, then we'll see some real products, I think. Let's see. Other stuff we saw. We met a tested fan on the floor today. Tested reader.
Oh,
tested viewer, watcher, whatever you guys. A testee.
I'd like to think there'd be a few of those walking around CES.
I'm sure there are. I mean, occasionally you're walking the show floor and somebody will kind of give you the stink eye. You're looking at somebody's like giving you the full like track for like 20 seconds, like not a casual eye contact kind of thing, just watching you. And you catch and they look away. And I'm pretty sure that those are people that
That's Will Smith. He's famous. He's from the internet.
I don't think that's it. I think they're probably looking at Joey because he has the big camera. He's quite a handsome man.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. So
you've like accidentally wandered over from the Adult Entertainment Expo or something and got lost?
maybe.
Because you got the beard and everything. I mean, you could be a... You look like the guy from The Joy of Sex.
I'm not... That's not nice.
He has a beard.
You have a beard?
Well, yeah, but it's not as full and lush as yours.
I do have a luscious beard. Devu.
Like rendezvous, but Devu.
But without the Ron. So Devu, we bumped into on the floor, took some pictures of him. So if you see us at this kind of stuff, please come say hello. We like to meet people. But I mean, Norm doesn't, but I do. Yeah. Okay, other stuff. Matt, you saw the Fushigi. Not the Fushigi. Fushigi.
Racist.
Matt saw the Fuji FX100, right?
X100. FinePix X100. Same thing.
FinePix. Well, I knew that there was an F and an X.
Back over?
No eating.
No, she's gone.
No eating.
I've hardly eaten today.
I know, I'm sorry.
We'll go to a buffet.
Yeah.
Later.
You've got to push through.
Right after this.
It's a reward. Did you make reservations, by the way?
They don't take reservations for less than 12 people.
Oh, okay. I'll just tell them you're 12, and then when you show up and say a few people didn't make it, you're all good. You got to know the tricks, the Inside Vegas tricks.
FinePix X100.
FinePix. The FinePix was cool. It was a 12.3 megapixel camera. It has an APS-C sensor.
That's a lot of megapixels.
12.3?
That's a lot of megapixels.
It's not bad.
That's millions of pixels.
I know it is.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's good. That's good. It's the cool thing is it's using an APS-C sensor, which for those of you who know SLRs, it's the same sensor used in most of the crop censored SLRs.
Okay.
So that's cool.
What kind of format? Is this like a point and shoot, Micro Four Thirds?
It's the body is like a Micro Four Thirds camera. That's the cool thing is it has that form factor going for it.
Okay.
But packing an SLR sensor. So that's kind of its claim to fame.
Oh, so it's, less noise.
That's the hope. Less noise. And what they've done is they did this cool thing with the sensor where, sensors are made up of things called micro lenses. Sensors are made up of things called micro lenses, and they have curved these little micro lenses to absorb more light than they might otherwise absorb. Which is kind of cool. I mean, I couldn't really tell how it worked in practice because the software was unstable as hell. It was
how far out is it? Did they say
it's coming out in like March?
Ooh,
like or April. I think April was what I heard. Definitely like the first half of this year, for sure.
So, I mean, it seems like a really interesting camera. Do they have a price and stuff like that? It's like a glass, right? So
It's like a glass. It's $1,200. It's not. It's fixed lens. It's not it's fixed lens.
So why would you spend $1,200 on a camera like that instead of buying like a D60?
That's the thing is, I mean,
or 60D. I always get them mixed up. Is it D60 or 60D?
Well, there's Nikon and there's 60D is the Canon one.
Okay.
In their belief, and I don't know whether to believe it or not until I actually get a final product, is their belief is because they're using a fixed lens. What they've done is they've essentially fine-tuned the lens and the sensor to work together far better than, I guess, an exchangeable format would work. I don't know if I buy that, but it was definitely a nice lens.
We don't talk about photography stuff a whole lot on the podcast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, one of the things that's definitely happened in the last few years, and this is always a problem with technology, is, the race to get the big number on the box, 72 megapixels, has resulted in these really kind of shitty sensors that they're really high megapixel, but the amount of noise and grain that comes in with the pictures is so great that you actually would be better off with a much lower megapixel sensor, and a less grainy picture. It's interesting to see Fuji doing this kind of stuff with a more pro sensor on a kind of what should be a cheaper camera, except for it's not that cheap.
Well, that's the thing that... See, here's the thing about Fuji is they make a lot of point-and-shoot cameras, and the sensors suck. They're really, really grainy. There's lots of noise. I don't like them.
Okay.
But the fact that they're using this...
Don't hold back.
Well, no, I don't like them. But, I mean, the fact that they're using an APS-C sensor, which is the SLR sensor,
right.
I feel like maybe that will give them something.
And these are all CMOS sensors, right?
Yeah, these are all CMOS sensors. As well, the thing they kept hinting at I think they really wanted to purposely hint at that is that apparently they're getting into like the compact market again.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so things like, I guess, you know, probably removable lenses or like Micro Four Thirds.
I mean, we did see more compact point shoots than I've expected in the last, than we're here last year for sure.
I've been thinking lately that it seems, I mean, and maybe I'm reading the market completely wrong. I don't know a lot about cameras, but as...
You and me both, buddy.
I mean, there'll always be a market for professional, you know, SLR type cameras.
Definitely.
But as the phone cameras get better and better and more capable, mm-hmm. it seems like the dedicated point and shoot casual
it's hurting
camera,
that market
is going to get squeezed out more and more, don't you think?
Well, I mean, the thing is, bigger glass on a point and shoot is always going to look better with the equivalent sensor to the tiny little camera lens. But you know, the old adage is the best camera is the one that you have, and you always have your phone camera with you.
And you know, the great thing about camera phones is they already have all the connectivity. You can take a picture and put it straight on the Twitters and whatever
that's else. Time too.
Sorry again?
That's just a matter of time. I mean,
The thing I really don't understand is why the point and shoots haven't embraced things like, you know, Wi-Fi connectivity and GPS so they can geotag and
do
Wi-Fi upload. I mean, some have, for sure.
I think you're finding it more and more, though. Like, I know Fuji announced something like 4, 5, maybe 6 that had GPS on them now.
But instead of like that goofy HDR art thing, which was in our day 2 wrap-up video last night.
Well, it's what's sexy for the guy best
I suppose. Yeah.
Zach wants to know if you saw the GH2.
I did not see the GH2, and he's been asking me about the GH2 for what seems like months. I am so sorry. No.
I said total coverage, Braga.
You failed.
Total coverage.
I wish I'd gotten a tweet on the show floor or something, but I hate to let Zach down.
You also saw the... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, Bib also wants to know how likely it is that ultraviolet won't be as good as everyone wants it to be.
What is ultraviolet?
Ultraviolet is the new DRM thing. There was a news story about this, actually.
I don't know anything about this at all.
I think it's optimistic, but yeah, of course there's
Can you give us a brief explanation?
No, I cannot.
Okay. We'll talk about it next
week. And yet you have an opinion on it.
Well, I have an opinion.
You read the story.
The brief of what I read.
None of us have read the story. Norm read the story.
I know. I just want to know what it is.
It's DRM. It's DRM.
For videos?
Movies.
Oh.
This is a completely different topic.
Oh, is this the Warner Brothers thing? They talked about it at Intel the other day?
No, I'm not. Read the story.
Yeah, it's on tester.com.
Okay, so other new topic. Guyver Zero wants to know if any old tech is being kept alive, like VHS or mini discs that you've noticed at CES.
That's a good question. I like that.
I saw optical discs all over the place. I didn't see any mini disc. I didn't see any... a lot of photograph stuff. A lot of LP stuff. I saw two of the crazy laser turntables. I don't think we shot them, but I mean those are basically, instead of using a needle that touches the record and makes it gradually wear down a little bit more each time you play it, the laser turntables.
Oh, it's a laser that can read a vinyl record.
It's a laser that sits a little bit off the thing. It hits it and it measures the pits and the lands. Or actually, it's not pits and lands because it's analog. But
that's cool
because
it's like retro and futuristic at the same time.
I mean, it is. It's what we expected. It's how we expected to listen to music in the 60s when lasers were new.
Fantastic. And well, there was a laser, it just was pointed at something else.
Well, they're still crazy expensive. It's like $6,000.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about the laser turntable, right?
There's a couple of them, yeah.
They have problems, though.
Oh, really?
Well, the issue with the laser turntable is because if there's dust, and I'm not even talking about a lot of dust, like little dust really screws with...
Pops.
Tiny little motes of dust in the matter stream. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even that will mess it up. I'm being serious.
No, it's...
So, like, okay.
So the audiophile is probably not on board with laser needles?
I think, you know what, in optimal conditions, I've heard that they definitely do a good job. So I'm assuming that...
Do you have to blow the record clean every time you play it?
You have to hover over it.
Yeah, you have to be just constantly like applying a light breeze through the laser. Right.
Use the ion cleaner.
Right, exactly. Any more questions from the chat, Mel D?
I didn't catch who asked this, but were there any 3D passive Oakley glasses on the floor?
There were. We didn't look at them.
That's interesting.
Kind of designer passive 3D third-party glasses, not too interested. Oakley, I saw the ones at the AMD event.
Yeah.
And I put them on. They're way too expensive. They look like sunglasses, but...
I don't understand why anybody would spend $100.
Are they meant to be worn as sunglasses as well?
No, they're meant to... You go to the 3D theater.
Yeah.
And instead of wearing the real 3D...
Does anyone really expect that people, other than
that, is such a high level of vanity,
going to buy those?
Yeah.
As you said, sitting in the dark where everyone's looking at something else.
Right.
Who gives a
shit? I'm a vain person. It's pretty well established.
And you're going to spend a lot of money when they give you this product for free in the movie theater already.
Yeah.
Why would you spend a lot of money?
Right, exactly.
That's
because you have too much money.
We talked about the Samsung prescription shutter glasses yesterday, I think, mm-hmm. didn't we? I couldn't remember. Anything else from the chat?
Cow God wants to know if you got to see the new Windows Home Server app for WinPhone 7.
No, did not.
Did not.
Did not. We that was behind closed doors, and we didn't have meetings with those guys at this time at CES. So a little bummed about that. It sounded pretty cool. Although, honestly, I'm so far down on the next version of Windows Home Server, which I believe that the WinPhone 7 app requires, that I'm not – I'm keeping my Windows Home Server on the current version of Windows Home Server indefinitely. I'm actually thinking I'm going to build a dedicated PC for that so I can have a little bit more power in that box. I'm not upgrading to Veil. I think they made bad mistakes with that product, and I want nothing to do with it.
We just got two questions in the chat about cars, so I think we should jump to the car.
Automobiles.
Topic. One was just, did we see car stuff? Yes. The other question is more specific about the Audi.
Tiguan the tanning booth.
So, well, no, the question was about Audi's crazy booth, but with Tiguan 2 power GPS. Let's talk about the Audi booth.
Yeah. Okay. So you know the spaceship in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. Not discussing the relative merits of the movie or Zooey Deschanel or Manic Pixie Dream Girls. That's a callback. That Audi booth was the brightest thing I've seen, including the sun, in the last week.
So was it was like white.
It was
pure white.
It was. Go ahead.
So imagine a huge box. No, the booth was. It was like a big monolith, a gray monolith. Maybe like I want to say. 100 feet by 100 feet on each side?
It's probably 80 by 80.
80 by 80. Yeah. And imagine if it was a gray monolith and someone like cut it, like sliced it through.
Right at the bottom corner. Right at the bottom
edge. Did a diagonal
slice. Like a boxy box?
Like tilted it back.
Kind of like and then opened it
like
up.
Like Batman.
And inside was just glowing light.
Just pure light.
Pure light. You
were
in that box. Yeah, pure life.
And
wow.
The ceiling, literally, it was like the inside of a tanning bed. It
is
was
this like
horrible.
What you see right before you die or something? Like
I think
it felt like you were in heaven's waiting room.
Soylent Green. You know in Soylent Green when they go home and they watch the beautiful pictures and it's in the white room and they have the couch and all that?
I'm getting the idea that it's very white.
Very white. Very bright.
No. It was really whiter than white.
Which, as a racist, I'm sure you appreciate.
Well, you know. It was the whitest thing I've ever seen.
It was that loading zone in the Matrix when they were.
It really
the
was. That's
like,
exactly
it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The one.
Yeah. It was pure unconstructed dream space.
Literally. Oh, yeah. At one point, Joey looked up and said, "Man, my eyes really hurt." I said, "My."
I don't think there's meant to be that. There's meant to be that much white in the world.
And then actually, I took my glasses off, put a little bit of water in there, and started a fire on the floor. It was so bright in there.
Like when God or nature or whatever was behind it invented eyes.
Yeah.
You would imagine that it was like. Well, they're going to need to look at trees and animals and the sky. They probably were never designed to like take into account all the crazy artificial shit that humans would eventually design.
I felt
white spaces.
I felt like I needed to bust on some SPF 40.
Mm.
It was super duper
like
white.
Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters.
Yeah, so they had some crazy stuff in there. They had just a dashboard, like the front seats of a car and a dashboard with the Sirius app running. They had a bunch of cars. They had like a TT and a
no,
and
they had
Quattro
an
A8
and a
yeah.
Why is a Sirius app exciting? The Sirius car radio is for years.
I liked sitting in the car that had no car attached.
So,
hold on a sec.
Stream. Did it just go down?
Wait, works fine for me tonight at least. All good now though.
Just restart it. It's fine.
May have passed.
No, we'll always be refreshing.
You know, a couple more times, I want to put a moratorium on that too.
Yeah, I know. I'm wearing that one out. I'm running into the ground.
No, we're good. We're good.
So we're good.
Don't break it.
If the chat says it's all right, then it must be all right.
It's already been restarted.
Oh, okay.
I'm not even near that thing.
Yeah.
It's good.
Who do you think you're talking
about? So, okay.
At the Audi booth. The Tiguan 2 thing, I think... We didn't get a briefing, but I think what he meant was this table where there was GPS.
Oh, the incomprehensible table.
Yeah, it looked like a huge surface table with like a GTA-style map on it. And,
yeah,
and
it
icons
weird.
Are moving around, and this guy was using the stick to move these pucks on the table.
I thought it was some sort of gambling thing at first.
What
company did you guys just
Audi.
Say?
Audi.
That failed to deliver? Is that what...
Well, I don't know if it failed. This is the Tigra 2 thing in the Audi booth, we think. We didn't take a briefing there. It was right at the end of the day. We were literally just trying to like see some cool stuff and get the hell out.
So, I mean, did you get to see anything that, like, showed you what driving in the future might be?
Yes.
Okay. Not that necessarily
good
a segue.
Wow, that was an incredible segue, Gary.
Well, I used to do this for a living.
Well, I'm just saying, we're making a podcast here, so we got to call out the segue.
Well, it was a psychic segue, too. I don't think he knows what we're segueing.
No, he has no idea.
But once again, as we've discussed many times, every time you draw attention to the fact that it was a good segue, it's no longer a good segue.
You've added a seam
to the seamless.
That's the defining characteristic of the podcast. That's my whole point. This is the form we're working within.
So when we walked into the North Hall, which had all the car stuff, the first thing we saw was the Pioneer booth, where they had a station, not a real product.
It was weird.
It was kind of weird. There was these people sitting in front of chairs with a fake dashboard. Like,
not even a fake dashboard. It was like a box.
There's a box in front of them with a piece of glass, almost like a big visor.
Okay.
And then maybe 20 feet ahead of them was a big screen TV showing a video of a road, driving. So it was like a driving simulation.
Right. It was as if you put a camera on the car and just driven around for a while.
Okay.
So you sat in the chair, and what the box was, it was a projector that in the future they imagine it's part of your dashboard or they sell it as a third-party device.
Imagine a world.
No. We
in a world gone mad.
We put a moratorium on that.
One man. Stands alone against nature and God.
God.
No,
with liberty and justice for none.
That's a scary voice.
That man.
He's going into Batman voice.
That man meets the Brogginator.
Hello, Batman.
Swear to me.
Good morning, Batman. So this projection. What do I do with it?
You sit. There was a projector, and the piece of glass was supposed to simulate your windshield.
Right.
And when you sat in the chair, when you're not sitting in the chair,
the angles were a little janky. But
when you're not sitting in the chair, yeah. You don't see anything on the glass. It doesn't look like there's anything. It's just a clear piece of curved glass.
Okay.
When you're sitting in the chair, and if it's eye level, you see a fucking hologram.
Oh, like the heads up display in The Last Starfighter that was suspended in a xenon mist.
Right.
And it was only visible if you looked dead ahead.
Yes.
I've always wanted that to be real.
Yes. I have too.
Finally, my car is like a gunstar.
Right. Well, but the thing is, heads up displays have been in fighter jets for decades, like 40 years. Right?
Well, yeah, but there's a bunch of cool shit in fighter jets that I want in my car. Oh, well, they have that in fighter jets. That's not cool.
What, you're saying you want some Sidewinder missiles?
I want all kinds of crazy Maverick shit
Phoenix
in my car.
Phoenix 54s?
So it was,
you understand that a car costs like 10 grand and a fighter jet costs like 15
million dollars? What car are you driving
that
costs 10 grand?
Well, I mean, you could buy
fighter
a car
jets are cheap
grand.
These days.
Yeah, you could buy
like a Honda Fit or something. 35 mil.
My first car was about 10 grand.
So
my
first car
was $500.
The way it works is the projector uses Pioneer. It's an RGB laser array.
Can we just skip to the end? What are we talking about? Augmented reality driving here?
So
there
is kind of augmented reality because there's no camera detecting what's on the road. That is a logical next step. What it is, though, is basically it's like GPS. You get phone calls. Phone call messages pop up.
Okay.
I think that heads up display actually is. I think that's augmented. That's a side.
So it's basically a HUD, a driving HUD.
It's a HUD.
Yeah. Okay. Now I get it.
Had your nav stuff. It was all in color. It looked really good.
Now, does that mean that when there's like an arrow going turn left up here, like that's actually happening like in the road that I'm looking at?
Yeah. So this it's a little floaty. So it's like when you look at the car, you can see a floating image on your
window. Is that more or less distracting?
That's the question.
Here.
These are the ramifications. I don't know.
I don't know if I want shit actually getting in my... I like to concentrate on the road.
Well, I think the idea is that this is going to be off in the lower left, lower upper right corner of the screen, so you can kind of corner of the eye.
Yeah.
I don't know that having that stuff there is going to be less of a distraction than having it on a GPS.
Is it going to have like I can have like my iPod playlist up there and all?
Yeah,
they had
one of the things they showed was also like an incoming call or something like that.
TV shows that I might want to watch.
Exactly. Hello,
Batman. There was a little video. Yeah, they had a little video playing.
FaceTime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, honey, how you doing?
Text. Bang! Yeah. Hello. I'm just dead.
That hurt. Actually, I regret that immediately.
Text him while driving, taking to a whole.
Matt Braga has a question.
Well, I was going to say, you know who's doing the augmented reality stuff? It was either GM or Ford that was demoing something similar to that.
Yes.
And this was cool because it would look at, say, like speed signs on the road, and then it would highlight them and like digitize them and show them on your. And show them on your like heads up display so you wouldn't miss them.
I walked by that display like 4 times and kept meaning to go in and never got to it. Was there anything else cool in there?
Are we talking about the GM or Ford? I didn't actually see it at CES. I'm saying this was like months ago.
Oh, okay.
But of
course, you can imagine the word lens version of this where the windshield is translating foreign street signs and all kinds of stuff.
Or English street signs.
Now you're thinking.
Gary, now you're thinking with portals.
That's right.
What if you want to learn Spanish so you start translating all the English street signs in America into Spanish?
Okay. I said that would be one implementation.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
The cool part of technology
aside, I mean, you can shine a laser at a screen and you get an image there, was that there's something, the screen was also special, so if you put your hand in front of the projector,
there was a coating, right,
you don't see the image on your hand. It's not, it's something, right. The laser is invisible.
It's like a hologram where like you're reaching for it, but you can't touch it.
Between that and the Audi booth, we're probably both going to get skin cancer, because we were both waving our hands around in the spot.
In all these lasers. And the laser. Yeah.
I've never heard of an RGB laser before, so that also is pretty
cool.
RGB
laser array projector.
That kind of makes me think there's three lasers inside.
Cool. Did they have any like crazy concept car type designs for like the actual cars?
You know, Hyundai had a crazy concept
Hyundai,
car,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was a Hyundai, so
who cares?
Right, yeah. Right.
That's what, so
it was inspired by water and wind.
Yeah.
Is what the sign said.
All right.
Let's see. Speaking of glass...
Ooh.
We went by the Gorilla Glass booth toward the end of the day.
Okay,
I've been trying to reach those guys for literally like 6 months because we wanted to get that in and do horrible things to it on the live show.
You can do all kinds of testing on Gorilla Glass.
Yeah, testing is what we do. I wanted to work on it a little bit with a ball peen hammer and see how it turned out.
I want
to
drop a bowling ball on it from a great height.
Oh, we tried that today.
Oh, you did?
Not a bowling ball.
It was at their booth, and yes. It was kind of a controlled environment, but still some fair amount of testing.
Well, they brought some of the testing apparatus that they use to qualify glass and stuff like this.
Well, we'll start with the shittier test they did, which was inside a case, they had a pendulum.
Yes.
With a 1-pound metal ball that if you drop...
1.3, I think.
1.3 pounds. It was fairly hefty, 500 grams.
Stainless steel.
If you drop it onto concrete, it would dent the concrete, but not damage the ball.
Right.
It had on a pendulum that slammed into the Gorilla Glass, and it just bounced off. Nothing.
Although, you know what? It
How thick is the Gorilla Glass?
Five millimeters.
Yeah, not very.
Okay. Normal cell phone screen thickness. The thing that I realized is we never actually confirmed that the pendulum is a stainless steel 1.3 pound ball.
Why can't I just drop it? I'm kind of feeling like the pendulum is some kind of David Copperfield thing.
Well, okay.
The pendulum is like producing the effects of the ball.
Because the next phase of the test was to take a metal rod and jam it on a piece of the glass.
So they took us on stage where they've been doing demos of this all day. What they did was there were three types of glass they had samples for. One is a standard...
Like window glass.
Window glass, non-lime.
Yeah.
Very easy to break and scratch and crack if you apply it force. And to simulate the effects of damaging glass, they had glass that had been... had some wear and tear on it. Like, imagine like a phone that had been in your pocket for a year or so.
Imagine a phone.
Which has no wear and tear
Not
on it
new.
At all.
Right. So... They had like shot water or something or high pressure onto it just so it would be a little more fragile than glass freshly made.
Okay.
So it's similarly a real world situation. And they gave me a metal rod, like with a ball at the bottom, and they said apply pressure, and I just stabbed it a little bit and the glass shattered.
Yes.
Okay, that's normal glass. Normal glass.
All right.
And then they had the more stronger lime glass.
It was like strengthened but normal glass.
Strengthened
this
glass.
It's kind of fun to get to smash glass.
Norm got to smash some shit today. I didn't get to smash anything.
I put a little more pressure, definitely took a little more effort, and the glass also smashed. And then they had the Gorilla Glass, and we knew the Gorilla Glass. Gorilla Glass obviously is not unbreakable. You've seen iPhones break.
Mm-hmm.
We assume
the iPhone is something.
If you smash an iPhone really hard with a hammer,
can I borrow your iPhone,
break.
Norm?
No, you may not. We've seen Nexus One break, and Nexus One is confirmed using Gorilla Glass. So not unbreakable. So I was like,
sturdier.
Yeah, just sturdier. It's a small piece of glass, maybe 2 inches by 2 inches. I could break this with this hammer.
It's not made out of Superman's hair. I mean, it's not unreasonable. It's not to say it's not unbreakable. I mean, if it was unbreakable, I mean, that would be the scientific discovery
of all time. And they can see that if you apply enough force, it will break. But I think I had enough force. I could break this. And I tried my hardest.
Were you like the guy in Napoleon Dynamite trying to tear the Tupperware container?
Yes.
And being emasculated in front of his wife?
I can't do it. This video. You'll see it today, tomorrow.
But we didn't get on video, it was a parlor trick. It was a carnival trick.
So they tricked you.
So they had a metal pole about the size of a pen.
Okay.
No handle to grab onto. So you couldn't really get good pressure.
And also,
the whole thing was on kind of a spongy pad.
Yeah.
Oh, so it would absorb some of the impact.
So there was, there was no leverage. You didn't have any leverage no matter what you did. You could have scratched the living shit out of it with the metal thing.
Totally. If I had a cone-shaped metal thing where I could put my entire palm on it and just push down, no problem. But with the pen...
Even like a screwdriver.
Can you put your thumb over the top of it?
It was really hard.
How are you going to put 150 pounds of force on your thumb?
Right.
If you do it in your palm, I still have marks on my palm from trying to push down on it.
Right.
It was totally a carnival.
So if it had like a rubberized handle or something, that would have been more fair.
I thought palm on the quarter.
Or, you know, some type of bar. And then after the fact, I asked them, you know, can we take these samples home, right? Because in my head, I'm going to the fucking back of the Hilton, driving a car over this glass to get some revenge on it, right? Taking a jackhammer.
Norm's
going to
work on it.
They were very, very protective. Like, no.
Of course, because they don't want to do it outside of their very carefully calibrated circumstances.
Norm wanted the ball peen hammer and the pair of pliers. He was coming after it Pulp Fiction style.
That's right.
You know what you should do is track down some old junked phones that have Gorilla Glass and just take off the panel and just...
That's a brilliant idea, sir.
You know, I'm sure they sell, you know...
Replacement screens. We'll just buy some replacement screens.
Not replacement screens. I bet those are not Gorilla Glass.
I bet they are.
The ones they...
Why is there so much secrecy about what is and isn't Gorilla Glass?
It's not secret. It's what it is the doping process. So it's alkali aluminous silicate glass. We talked about it. There's nothing... I'm kind of a nerd, in case you guys didn't know.
Really?
I know, it's hard to believe. But, you know, I'm a little bit of a science nerd. We were hanging out with material science this afternoon, and I was so far out of my league that, you know, I had no idea what they were talking about a lot of the time. But basically, this is Dow Corning has developed a manufacturing process, and the stuff that goes into this kind of glass is very similar to what makes Pyrex and other types of, you know, kind of sturdier glasses. The difference, of course, is in how it's applied and the process that it's made under,
also,
and then how
fine,
they can shape it and stuff like that.
There's fine ground gorilla bones in there.
Yeah, it's made with real gorilla.
Made with bits of real panther.
Real panther.
Yeah.
So that's Gorilla Glass. We haven't talked about the stuff that we saw today. We talked about the Atrix, I guess.
Talking about stabbing things.
Yeah.
Doing dangerous things.
Norm tased the fuck out of somebody today.
You tased somebody?
I tased a sucker.
It was a stand-up.
It was
a piece of cardboard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you are willing to do whatever it takes to get the story.
No, wouldn't let me
Why
tase
were you
him.
Not willing to be tased?
Will, because...
I talked a big game.
Because the moment we got that invite to the taser booth, a whole month and a half ago...
A month and a half ago, it seemed like an awesome idea.
Will said, hey, Norm, guess what? You get to tase me. And I said... I get to live out the American dream.
Norm, the light in Norm's eyes.
Were you going to say, don't tase me, bro?
I was.
That would have been good. I would demand that.
But so we got to this meeting, and we were getting there, and they didn't offer it up right up. But we did a whole video. Norm shot the taser from like 10 feet away. There was a laser game for the guy's groin. It was a nice shot.
Is it one of the ones? Is on like a what? It's on cables.
On cables.
Okay.
Taser
equals
cables. So you can continue to apply to Zap after it.
No. This is mostly consumer, not the police version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we'll talk about stuff in the. You can watch in the video, but the point is after the fact. The guy's like, by the way, you know, you've shot a taser now.
I asked about lethality on because taser's not a toy, it's a weapon, right?
So they're making these available to consumers?
They always have.
Oh, yes.
I think it originally started out that way.
I didn't know you could buy tasers.
Yeah, they're like $250.
But now, what's the difference between the ones that shoot on the cable and the ones where you just directly,
that one's a stun gun.
Okay.
That's a stun gun. When they make those,
okay.
The one that you shoot on the cable has two...
Probes, darts.
I would not want to get hit
with that fucker.
Focus on them. You hit the. It's 15-foot range, basically. You can shoot someone's face from 15 feet away.
You don't want to hit someone in the face.
They wouldn't die. It's perfectly safe.
You might take an eye out. Though.
So back to the story.
You aim for the body.
Will asked, you know, have you tased someone here? And like, yeah, sure.
Eighty people.
80 people have volunteered to be tased on the CS.
Well, and then he said they've done like 1.5 million test tasings on volunteer subjects. I was like, that is the worst fucking job in the world.
Volunteered.
What if it's the same guy?
That's like Orca semen collector at SeaWorld. It's worse than that. I would rather have some sort of specimen collection job from elephants.
They just get tased every day.
You ready for another one, Billy?
He's got to get out of bed in the morning for that one.
Another day at the office.
Yeah, Billy goes. The alarm clock goes up in the morning. He's just awake. He's like, fuck me, another day of getting tased.
My life is terrible.
He lies in the bed. And you get the guy in the lab coat. Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Could be good money.
We're upping the time stamp. And you get the EKG. Any heart palpitations last night? No.
Everything's fine.
I tase him for an hour. It was up.
Every time my wife fires up the microwave, I piss my pants.
Yep.
Forget who I am for a half hour, though.
So explain to me then, why were you not tased?
And then so Will,
that's all I care about.
Moment, I don't want to do it.
Were they willing to let you be tased? Yeah, so.
And
so
you
they,
didn't do what, it.
They
tell
hold
you.
On, they weren't going to dart me. What they do is they clip it onto you like your pants and then your leg cuff.
That's good enough for me.
Because the way the taser works is. fires the darts, 8 degree separation.
Yeah.
Because the way it disables you is by running electricity through a large portion of your body, which makes that shit just not work. It shuts down your...
because your body is an electrical system.
Yeah, your peripheral nervous system for a few minutes.
And he says, you know, in the demos where people voluntarily tase, we do the full 5 seconds.
Yeah, and five seconds doesn't seem like a long time.
I bet it does when you're getting fucking tased.
Right. I'm listening to the thing going... I don't want to do this. This seems bad.
5 long seconds. It feels like a long time of agony. Some guys wuss out and we do 3 seconds, but we recommend about 4 or 5 seconds.
I was thinking, give me a half second. Right. If you could have given me a half second, I would have been in.
The half second dosage.
Right.
Long story short, Will evaluated the contents of his bladder.
I had to pee. I had 3 cups of coffee this morning. I didn't want to piss my pants.
And decided he didn't want to.
I'm very disappointed.
I know. I let
As
the whole team down.
As I'm sure all the tested
But
fans
Norm,
are.
Norm always does what he needs
Why
to get the
job
done.
Why didn't you step up?
This was your opportunity to shine.
I stepped up to tase
Will. Yeah, but why not step up to be tased? If Will doesn't have the stones to get it done.
I know, you're no better than I am.
Well,
I think you let the fans down today.
I apologize,
more importantly,
guys.
You let yourself down.
No, I feel pretty good about where I ended up. I didn't want to come back to the hotel and change pants. I mean, it is a practical problem.
Will Bib wants to know if you were tased while using the massage chair, would the effects cancel each other out?
I 100%
would
do that.
You could probably be electrocuted to death if that were to happen.
If those two things are ever in the same place at the same time.
You could turn the massage chair into an electric chair and fry you.
It would bring the massage chair to life. It's the Frankenstein machine. Yeah. That's the missing
Those darts were no fucking around, though. There were barbs on the end. It looked really, really unpleasant.
Where a thing penetrates your skin. They were just going to clip this thing onto your jeans.
Well, we learned the tasing procedure.
This wasn't even a real tasing. This was like junior lame.
Hey, you know,
I'm
you're here tomorrow.
For the
show
real
goes
tasing,
on tomorrow.
Tasing. Why don't you your nickname tase? Is you now, badge. Don't tase me, bro.
I was getting ready to scream, don't tase me, bro.
So, Gary...
always be wussing out of tasing.
There's always
that's
next
your,
year.
The,
there's
your
always
name.
Next year.
The procedure for the taser gun.
Family history of heart disease.
There's a laser sight, which is awesome. The idea that a taser gun...
With a laser sight. Well, you don't want to miss. You only get
so
one
you
shot.
Want, you want to get
yeah,
the
only one
shot,
shot,
right?
Yeah.
So
kill
the
shot.
The first barb comes out straight and will hit where the laser...
More or less where the... I mean, gravity has an impact.
And the second barb, there's an 8% drop. So, like, Arma has trained me for the bullet drop, and which could be put into use. But in the case... That the second
Well, I mean,
barb,
set of mass. I mean, it's all...
Well, I want the
but you
barb.
Don't,
it's pretty
yeah.
big. I got 15 feet away. It's pretty
he started with the
target.
Headshot and then immediately went to
I'm
the balls.
I'm sure they don't suggest you tase people in the face.
No.
Oh. What if it got you like, if they were coming at you going, ah, and you like, got them in the tongue? That would be the best tasing.
So
I wanted to see them apply crocodile clips to your tongue and tase you that way.
This is
way.
Such a phenomenally bad idea.
That I would like to have seen.
Hey, we're still on topic. We may be off the rails, but we are on topic, by God.
You don't complete the current. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
Assailant could be still be running at you.
And then what
you're
doing
is that you can then you proceed to run at him and
jab them.
Jab the taser to complete the current.
So the ideal tasing process, you have the assailant, you give verbal warning. Stop or I will tase you, bro.
Right?
Yep.
You lase and then tase. Then you set the taser down and run away.
So yeah. So the procedure.
No, I would give him a good kicking. Once he's down.
Well, but the thing is, it only disables him for 15, 20 seconds.
Right.
So you want to get a head start.
No, you can do a kick in 20
like
seconds. If you kick someone relentlessly in the head for 20 seconds, they're not getting back up.
Okay, fair enough.
Could you be electrocuted if you touch them?
No.
Oh, no.
Once the clicking stops, the juice is done.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of clicking. But
the clicking was scary,
if
man.
If the second barber doesn't hit, you got to run toward them and finish the job yourself. Right.
I think the fact that there were
right
so many people that were tased... And yet you
people,
weren't able to step
250,000 people
that
are
just
at
casts
CES.
You in an even worse light.
250,000 people are at CES. 80 got tased. I'm in the strong majority. You're here. Go get tased. You can do it. Let's know how it goes.
But I'm.
You
no
might
one's,
want to get
no one's paying me.
You head
this
out
isn't
there.
My job. It's not my job to do
we'll
anything.
We'll have a great story tomorrow.
And I quote, do whatever it takes to get the story.
That, it doesn't say that on my bio.
So you asked what the difference between this, the consumer taser, and what the cops use, right?
Yeah.
They had the models the cops use.
Okay.
Serious business. They look like pistols, first of all.
Right.
The nice one, the super sweet one, instead of, because you use cartridges, you put a cartridge in, and it's one-time use.
Well, like a gas cartridge?
Well,
or
no, it's like a
no it has
that's
the wires
the
and the darts
in.
And all that stuff.
And they're not recyclable. You just put the cartridge in, and then you fire it. The high-end one has three cartridges, so you can find
it. What is the propellant? How does it propel?
It's like spring-loaded or something.
No. Okay. For 15 feet, it must be a gas cartridge.
Maybe a gas cartridge. Basically, there's also like a serial number thing in there that basically lets people know so that they can track the tase to the person if somebody's using it for evil.
So the cop one has three. It's a semi-auto. You don't have to reload. You just go pow, pow, pow.
So you can shoot three different people?
Three assailants at once.
Wow.
Really? Will it zap
pow,
all three
pow,
people?
Pow, you just hold it down. It's a three, and then you pull towards you and do the Batman punch. Right. They also had a shotgun taser.
Really?
I saw that.
They used that in Toronto.
A shotgun.
No, the G10. Does it fire like a whole spray of tasers?
I don't even remember.
Well, of course, you got tased, bro.
I was almost tased.
Now, are the cop tasers also more powerful? Do they have more juice?
No, it's the same. He said it was the same mechanism. The difference was one shot versus multiples.
Yes.
Okay.
And also, they look more
pistol
badass.
Grips. Well, no. Here's the thing. This is what I don't like about the cop tasers. I'm not a weapons expert. They said we did talk a lot about training stuff like this. There's gonna be a video, but basically. The cop tasers felt like guns to the hand. You understand how accidents can happen.
There was that. We just saw it in Oakland, right?
Yeah,
where the cop
exactly.
thought the gun was a taser.
Right. And I mean, so I really can't emphasize enough. We're laughing here. But serious weapons, if you have a taser, don't fuck around with it. The cartridges are expensive. They're one use only. This is something for you know, defense.
Well, I mean, it's something you'd hope you'd never have to use.
Exactly.
Ever.
In anger.
I mean, like, certainly not on a regular basis.
Back to
like,
being
almost out of taser darts this month.
Amazon. Good thing I have Prime. I'm going to get another.
I get attacked on a really regular basis.
Go tase the cat. See how that goes.
Oh, that'd be fun.
No.
Tasing cats.
Well, maybe if you don't like cats.
But to be silly again, I get to live out my vigilante fantasies. I'm now qualified to land a plane and fire a taser, that's halfway to be being Batman.
I guess.
Yeah. Did you not see Kick-Ass? I asked if they had it in black.
Gary, you're a movie guy. Mm-hmm. It turns out you're working in the business.
Mm-hmm.
CinemaScope, can you give us a little explanation of CinemaScope?
I actually don't know too much about CinemaScope other than I'm guessing, I believe it was one of the early widescreen movie projection formats.
It's a 2.35 to 1 aspect ratio used for a lot of films. I don't remember.
Spielberg's very.
Spielberg likes it.
The early Spielberg movies were on CinemaScope.
A lot of westerns, a lot of the John Ford westerns, the later ones especially.
Typically, if you're looking at a Blu-ray on your widescreen TV and there's like really thick black bars, that's probably CinemaScope.
Yeah.
Narrower the image.
Or even thinner black bars. So the folks at Vizio hate those little black bars, and they have released a even wider widescreen HDTV that is called the CineStyle.
Well, that's been around. Philips had one of those, didn't they? They had like
Philips
a 2.35 TV.
No, Philips did produce it.
They did.
But it was super high-end, and they had the crazy Philips color.
It was a niche product.
Yeah, and also Japan has had them in CRTs for a long time as well.
So the CineStyle is a 21 by 9, I believe, TV. If you divide that down, I don't know what 29 divides by 9 into, and I don't have my phone on me. Matt, since you're on your phone, can you divide 21 by 9?
But basically suitable for like 2.35 to 1 aspect 2.33. Ratio movies.
Oh, okay. So it's almost exactly right. Okay. And basically what happens, the problem with that though is when you're watching normal 4x3 content, you know, The Office.
No, you're going to get bars down to
size. Massive bars.
Yeah. But you get those already on.
But even wider.
But even widescreen HDTV, which is 6 by 9, you're going to get, now you're getting
wider. Or you have a really super stretched.
Right.
But what the Vizio folks have done, and this is actually, I think this is kind of clever. We're generally down on apps for TVs here, but I thought this was kind of clever. They're actually letting you put apps up on the black bar spot.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So instead of having dead space there, you can load up Twitter, Facebook. You're watching a football game, you can put other scores. You can kind of make your own heads-up display for the TV.
A little RSS feed going.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think that's a good idea.
We'll test
it
out when the TV's shipped. They're coming out in, I think, first half. Late spring, probably, they were saying.
So it's like when they have those news tickers on the cable news stations.
Yeah.
Like your personalized thing could be going
on. You can put it on either side.
That's fantastic. I like that.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, how about this? What, for my 16 by 9 TV, why don't I get a news ticker on the bottom for when I'm watching a CinemaScope?
Well, yeah,
TV?
Sure. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That's a good idea, too.
I want that.
Yeah.
Is the dead space really going to matter though? Once we start moving towards, you know, like full screen HD content, because I mean, it seems like
The thing is, this on even a normal HD feed, you're going to have a widescreen.
You're going to have extra
space.
Really?
Right?
Huh.
Yeah. So,
and most theatrical movies are still shot in the wider format.
Yeah. Almost right. everything. I mean, it's either 1.85 to 1 or 2.35 to 1 is right. the two common ones.
Right. Or you can go to 2.4, which I'm not sure if that's cinemascope, but it's like, it's even, it's like just a little shade bit even narrower. Wider, yeah.
Like, Crouching Tiger seems like it was one of those, maybe. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yeah. Okay, so that is, that's the Vizio stuff. I'm looking down at my list. Any questions in the chat?
Why are you talking about Vizio? Wasn't there some news that they were releasing a line of ultra-cheap 3D TVs?
Oh, yeah. So Vizio is kind of an interesting story over the last few years. They have released actually quite good inexpensive TVs.
I have a Vizio and I like it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, they're not best in class.
But they're affordable.
But they're really good and they're affordable.
More than good enough, yeah.
And they're better than the shit that you buy from some no-name label at Costco.
I would buy at Costco.
Yeah. So the Vizio guys they're committed to 3D. They haven't said how far down the line they're going to do 3D, but the press person I talked to today, PR person I've talked to today, suggested maybe even all the way down to 32 inches. And of course, they're doing passive glasses because, you know, they're budget oriented and they're figuring if you're spending, you know, $400 on a TV, you're probably going to buy a couple of $200.
Vizio's all about keeping the price down.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was pretty cool. We'll test that out when they're out. I'm excited.
I would like Vizio more if they'd have just made a stand and said, you know what, we're not going to do 3D. We think it's stupid and we're not going down that road.
I mean, I don't think any TV manufacturer can afford to do that because it's not out of the question that people actually do like 3D.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're gonna err on the side of it, you kind of have to err on the side of doing it.
It's to do the LG approach where you try everything, see what works, and then pull the stuff that doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
And they're doing passive, so it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's not expensive to implement.
I mean, even if you don't, it's going to be like the Android iPhone effect where it's just going to turn into another marketing pitch where people are going to discourage you from getting it because it's missing that feature.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that
chat.
I do have lots of questions.
Oh, let's lay it on us.
Okay, so Smallville123 wanted to know if there is any new e-ink improvement tech shown.
Well, the Mirasol stuff we talked about a little bit. It's not e-ink, but it's kind of like that. The Motion. Did anybody see the Motion Atom stuff?
No.
Are they even here? I didn't hear anything about them at this show.
I saw maybe a glimmer on Engadget, but I didn't think they were actually here.
Mm, okay. So I mean, for black and white, I feel like the Kindle 3 screen is pretty tops. I mean, it's really good.
Who makes that?
Amazon.
Who makes the screen?
They don't say. It's Lab 123, so they're super secret about stuff.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know that we need to get a whole lot better at black and white text. I mean, do you agree, Norm?
I think the refresh rate could be a little high. Like Marvell typically makes really good controller chips, and they've done e-ink. Controller chips that can do like three frames a second of animation, so it's definitely faster than.
I mean, but I'm more worried about text clarity and dot pixel resolution.
There's still plenty of room for improvement. I'd like to see the resolution get higher. I'd like to see Retina display type pixel density, and
you just wanted to have a good name.
Well, I know you hate it when I use the Apple bullshit terms, but you know what? I want the crispest.
Right. No, I understand.
And it's not
understand.
That. It's still a little bit.
Well, it's like 300 DPI right now, yeah. Or thereabouts, which is about the same as like an inkjet printed page.
And I would like it. I know it doesn't bug as many people as it does me, but I don't like the flash
the
when the page changes.
I mean, the blink is a common point of concern. I actually, after using the Nook Color, this isn't necessarily CS related, but after using the Nook Color, which is an LCD screen and doesn't have the flash. I actually, but it still has a little tiny bit of lag from button push to page turn. I actually find the flash is good because it lets you know when the page turns. It's like a subconscious cue. I usually blink through the flash. I've trained myself to time the blink to go with the flash.
Okay.
And without the Nook, I had trouble.
It's called living in denial.
No. I mean, this. I know this sounds crazy, but I literally had trouble telling when the page was turned. I'd be looking at the bottom of the page, and I wouldn't know when to look back up at the top. And the blink kind of gives you that message. This could just be me, but I mean, if people from the chat have used this, it's something we should talk to people about because I'll be interested to know if it's a common effect or if I'm just insane, which is possible.
Another question.
So Lepton wanted to know if you have a reaction to the Razer Switchblade winning the People's Choice CES Award.
We were kind of bullish on the Razer Switchblade. I think I mean,
the video is up on the site. We put it up on the site today.
Yeah, it's too early to say definitively whether it's going to be cool or not. It could go either way.
That's total bullshit. That this product won the People's Choice Award when no one has actually used it, and all they had was a concept
let's,
in a glass
let's
case,
take a moment
to
talk about
box.
CES Awards. The dirty secret.
Well, no.
I'm telling dirty secrets.
Okay. No, it's this. Keep my okay. If you're talking about dirty secrets, these are about the CES official CES Innovation Awards.
I'm talking
awards.
About almost all of the CES awards.
Okay.
Almost all of these awards that happen at CES, in order to get the stuff judged in time and get all the trophies made and all that shit, people have to submit the products in like November.
Different type of awards we're talking about. What? Like the laptop magazine. And the,
Okay, laptop does it straight up.
Like many, if it's a,
I'm so talking about the innovation
awards. That's what I said. There are two categories of awards.
The popular mechanics ones, I think, are pretty good.
CES has their own, the institution run by CEA, the organization,
right,
has its own awards, and that's what you see when you go to booths, you see this like black
sticker. It's CEA Innovation Awards.
With the yellow text, yeah, and the sun and everything. That's everywhere, and that, yeah, completely
It's total bullshit.
Yes, total bullshit.
Because if you don't submit your product by the November deadline, if it's not ready in time, and people like Sony who are serious about security aren't going to just send their shit out 6 months, two months early. So nothing good is ever in those awards.
In addition to the fact that these awards are innovation awards, which is completely ambiguous, and they judge...
I don't know who the judge... I've never met a judge for
these. ...than actual functionality. Yeah. I mean, the products have won these awards that are completely useless.
If you walk through the pavilion, they have a booth set up in the hall... that's in the entrance hall. That's like, here's what won the awards. The stuff's all there way in advance of the show. A lot of it's really terrible. I mean, it's like gyroscope telescopes and stuff like that. I don't think it's crooked per se, but I don't think that those are of any value at all.
They're not of any value. You're not supposed to
I just
them.
Think they're
pretty meaningless. Except for
the stuff you see walking around the floor.
So on the other hand, on the other side of the coin is the awards that publications award to the product.
They're editorially driven.
Sure. And so like magazines and websites, some of them create, you know, actual physical trophies, some hand out signage, and over the course of the 4 days of CES, companies that win these awards will place the signage up once the editors hand them the trophy. I also find that this is a lot of bullshit because these awards are handed out after like 5 minutes, 10 minutes of experience.
But at least there's experience.
But at least there's experience.
And at least it's an even playing field. Because if you're on the floor, you're eligible.
No doubt. But then something called the People's Choice Award, what does that mean?
What people are choosing.
Yeah. Like, is it from a webcast? Is it from people who walk through the booth? And for this specific product that won the award, the Razer Switchblade, which I am totally bullish on, no one got hands-on with it. It's a concept.
It's in a box.
It was in the glass case, and the concept is cool, and if you say it's people's choice that people like the idea of it, then sure, I can tell you like 1,000 ideas and give me an award for that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, hey Norm, imagine a world.
No, moratorium.
Moratorium.
Bib wants to know if you saw the T-Pain microphone.
Well, I walked by that booth like 3 times. I did not go in. I assume it's the same technology.
Auto-tuning microphone?
I assume it's the same technology as the app.
How awesome is it that because he did that first, he is now... the official auto-tune person.
He's totally synonymous with it.
Yeah, even though it's a technology he doesn't own, he didn't develop or anything.
But he was the first to really kind of make it a big deal.
Yeah, someone auto-tunes, I don't know.
I think Cher actually should get more credit.
Cher, I believe in life.
Yeah, she was the one that really kind of did the modulation and made it a popular effect.
That's an accident, right? They didn't realize that setting auto-tune to step zero or whatever it is would do that. They put it. They didn't. They exposed it.
Wow.
They didn't think anybody would ever use it. They just thought it was kind of neat, and it was like an unintended feature.
I think it's a pleasing effect.
Big force of evil. Auto-tune. I actually find the robot voice auto-tune stuff much less offensive than the people who can't sing that use auto-tune.
Well, I mean that of course is the real use of it, yeah. but the modulating thing, even though it's kind of overused these days, is, you know, it's an amusing effect, and when you
it's a novelty,
like, it'd be good, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a. I mean, music novelty has been around for decades.
So we'll tie it to the. Let's do a segue, which I'm
perfect segue.
Perfect segue.
Perfect.
In addition to the Switchblade, we also saw something at the Razer booth, which was
my favorite thing today. I think
out of a case being used, real product, totally cool, and this is the Razer Hydra.
Hydra.
It's the motion controls, but the 20-second pitch is Wiimote for PC gaming. Let me finish. It does not give enough credit because it is much more than that.
You're supposed to throw your head back.
Wait, what is it?
It's motion controls for PC gaming.
It's
You said you don't like it.
Let me take a stab at this. You know the PlayStation navigation controller, that size thing? It's got like some buttons, analog
stick. The Move.
Yeah. But the navigation controller, not the one with the ice cream cone. The nunchuck.
With the little thumbstick on it.
So imagine two nunchucks They're wired into this other thing that looks kind of like the arc reactor from Iron Man 1.
Okay.
But maybe not as glowy.
All right.
And this, instead of using gyroscopes or accelerometers or anything like that, they're actually generating a weak magnetic field with the arc reactor looking thing and using the orientation in the, because, you know, magnetic field is a three-dimensional torus, right? So
absolutely, of course.
Right, it's a donut.
Who doesn't know that?
It's a donut. Okay.
Who doesn't know that?
It's simple physics, people. Simple physics. I assume, you know, English, you probably had good schools. Yeah, it's not like you're American. I know Braga is Canadian.
Well,
definitely knows what a torus is.
I know, but this is like Vulcan Science Academy shit you're talking about. Like,
okay,
magnetic
okay.
wave.
There's a donut of magnetism around the circle thing that sits on the desk.
Right.
I'm gonna dial this back.
A magnetic donut, I can understand.
Magnetic donut.
All right.
If you have these two stick things with the analog sticks and four buttons each and some triggers,
yeah.
inside the magnetic donut, it can tell the precision of the place of the orientation in all axes. Down to 1 millimeter accuracy.
So it's just another way of sensing
it's a different way.
Accurately.
But okay. We didn't get hands on time because they're not giving hands on time.
Does that mean that you have to make sure that your hands are like remain within the field?
No, because the field's 6 feet around.
Well, okay. Is it safe to have that like against your balls? Because
they recommended actually putting it underneath the chin. No.
We actually did have hands on last year.
We did hands on with it last year.
Prototype when they were doing Left 4 Dead. So.
It was a little janky last year.
It's all about how it's implemented with software, right? Because what games are right for it. And the game they had tied to was
Portal 2. Oh, my God, Portal 2.
Portal 2.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
On the show floor.
This was a triumph.
Portal 2 is,
I'm making
in some ways, the perfect game for this.
Success.
Because much of Portal 2 is looking around and exploring.
Right.
And pointing and shooting portals. You point and shoot, right?
So is it basically similar to... like dual thumbstick control with one is moving and one is...
Well, but you have dual thumbsticks already, so you're using them for movement and stuff.
Okay.
What this was able to do was give you independent control of the gun from the direction you were looking. So you were using dual thumbsticks just like you would on the Xbox to steer and look around.
Mm-hmm.
But inside what you were looking at, you could use the right stick
to aim the gun
without turning your head. So remember Mech Warrior and stuff like that,
cursor,
old games where you...
The crosshair.
You'd have twists.
The crosshair would move around your screen.
Okay.
It would be a buffer.
The reticle wasn't centered in the center of the screen. You could move the reticle.
So it's like...
Right.
I see. It's like a
the model moved with it. And you could use the other stick to move the box in and out, rotate its orientation, stuff like that. Because, you know, in Portal, the first Portal, when you played it, you could actually... Matt's making all sorts of gestures, forgetting that he's on camera right now. You picked up the companion cube, and then it just kind of bopped around in front of you and it crashed into stuff.
It was all a bit janky.
It was all over the place. In this game, you could move stuff far away, you didn't have to just throw it.
No, I get it. Is this something that could become mainstream?
Here's the thing I thought when I saw this. I like playing games in the living room on my big-ass TV. I like playing PC games.
Yeah. Most people don't have PCs in their living room, though.
We're talking about people who are awesome, like us.
Okay.
I don't want to use the Xbox controller because most PC games, even ones that work with it well, it's not great experience, you know, whatever. This looked like potentially it could be the controller. And the precision looked really good. I mean, disclaimer, we're not going to know until we get hands-on. We were told shipping to coincide with Portal 2, which is, of course, a few months away. Valve's shortest delay ever, I think, is what Lombardi called it.
Yep.
And also,
the pricing is, it's $100.
$100.
Which is fair.
For the device alone, if you want it with Portal 2.
It'll be $150.
Yeah.
Presumably game developers would have to build the support.
They're doing some DevRel work, reaching out to developers. It seems like they're focusing on real AAA titles.
The SDK is out now.
Yeah.
So I think developers have their hands on it. They're going to publishers. The Portal 2, back to Portal 2, if you buy it with the game, with the Hydra, you get bonus levels. So it's like exclusive.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Six bonus levels.
Here's what I don't like, though, is that... The DLC is the only thing that's actually playable with all the extra fancy stuff.
So not the entire game?
No, that's...
Oh, really?
The impression I got is the entire game isn't playable.
That's not the impression I got, but...
Really? Because, here's the thing.
It seems like you still able to use the push and pull.
Well, because I was told that, like, the demo that we were playing, I was told that that's not even from the game. That's from a bonus
That's a bonus
DLC.
Level. Yeah, that's like Lost Coast.
And, like, here's the thing. The impression that I got from... Because there was a Razer guy there, and I was at the Intel booth doing this. And it was the Razer and the Intel guy, and that's the impression I got. I mean, if that's true, Well, actually, no. Here's the thing, though. I think that's the case. Because what they were telling me is things like the stretch, there's no way you can do that without the controller.
Well, the thing is, like, okay, so you're going both ways.
Yeah.
I admit, the
stretch is the lamest part of the whole thing.
I'm perfectly fine with there being game features in the 6 levels that aren't in Portal 2. That doesn't hurt Portal 2 because Portal 2 is going to be a great game. I'm not okay with not being able to do like twisty box stuff and using this
and
using
in distance.
Because the thing is,
you think about it, you could do distance with the mouse wheel, no problem.
I mean, if it works in the DLC, why wouldn't it work in the whole game? It's the same principle.
Well,
right?
Yeah. It changes the way the game works.
Yeah. Okay, so they've had to design levels specifically
not to work well, but to show it off.
Like for example, there was a crate that had a bunch of mirrors inside it. You held up in front of one of the turret lasers, and you could redirect the laser to point at other turrets, and it would shoot other turrets and stuff like that.
But if this is the case, though,
that's definitely not good.
Means that for this to work, it would need to just be able to replace mouse control in any game that uses regular control.
So we also talked
about... So I have to be completely redesigned for this controller.
We had a secret conversation, too. We're going to tell you guys secrets.
We talked to one of the guys who are working with Razer with Developer Relations to work on incorporating Hydra into other games. And two games they mentioned... StarCraft 2 and League of Legends strategy games are completely
top down.
Completely skeptical. I'm like, bullshit. I'm not going to use a Wiimote-style one.
How's that going to affect your APM?
Seriously,
that was the first thing I asked.
And you know what? And he said, he says they have done it right.
But if it works, this could be very Good Morning Batman.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
like Minority Report, moving your Zergs across the
Six feet. You can gesture wildly.
Oh yeah.
No core.
With your operatic music playing in the background.
He said not radio manuals, not gestures.
Right. So I'm like, okay, how can you duplicate keyboard, mouse, and hotkeys that you need in StarCraft?
So many hotkeys
with two controllers and motions, right? And then he said it's not any way that you could possibly think of, and they're not going to tell anyone because.
Yeah,
they don't want secrets.
Every time they try to bring a real-time strategy game to console, and they go, "No, this time we've cracked it," and they never have.
Gary,
sounds like that.
I mean, you and I have been at the battered game reviewers hardware hall of shame. I mean, I've seen so many bad first-person controllers over the last 15 years.
Yes,
I mean, literally. At least 2 dozen of these things that were utter shit. This one looks promising. We're going to have
I'll go further with the StarCraft thing. We spent then the next 20 minutes
just brainstorming, asking,
is it this type of control? Is this how you're doing it? And everything I could possibly imagine that how they would do it.
He said you're never going to think of what
it
is.
They're full of shit. That's my prediction.
Well, we'll see.
I remain skeptical.
April, we have hardware coming. We will do full coverage, quick look, review the whole nine yards. I'm skeptical. I want to see how it works.
It's interesting.
I mean, it had a good show floor presence. They wouldn't answer the question I asked whether they were not letting people have hands-on because Valve didn't want Portal 2 being played at CES or because they didn't feel like the hardware was ready yet, and they wouldn't answer the question, so...
The Intel guy said to me it was Valve.
That was my assumption as well.
My question is whether or not PC gamers would ever really accept... You know, I just can't imagine like the Dan Stapletons of this world ever adopting something like
this.
But
on the other hand, Dave Snyder...
If it's labeled PC gaming, that's fine.
Dave Snyder has literally bought dozens... He's every bit as much of a victim on this stuff as I am. He's bought dozens of these devices.
But this could be viewed as like the consolification of PC gaming, which I think a lot of the grognards would probably not be happy
about. No. Because two sticks, but also 6 axes on each hand. This gives you like Steel Battalion in the palm of your hand.
But there's no reason you couldn't do this on a console.
No, absolutely not. Except for, you know, console motion gaming has been kind of shit. Hey, Norm, you might want to adjust your microphone just a little bit.
It seems
slouching up. What else from the chat, Melissa?
Okay, so new topics. What was the most impressive? This is from Matt underscore.
Hi, Matt underscore.
What was the most impressive Android-based tablet device and thoughts on the Amazon Android App Store?
I did not see any impressive Android-based tablet devices. The hardware on the Moto Zoom will look pretty cool, but
so that's
video loop doesn't count. We didn't see any Honeycomb tablets actually running. I think our feelings on Froyo and Gingerbread tablets are pretty well established.
You know, coming into CES and all the talk about how tablets were going to be like the big segment at CES this year, I expected to see at least one, maybe two, like serious blow you away Android type. Oh wow! Now iPad can have real competition.
Well, I mean,
that didn't happen.
What happened though? Gingerbread just came out a couple weeks ago. Honeycomb is crazy early to be showing at a trade show right now. I mean, I think we'll probably see some more Android tablets at CTIA. I think that's when Honeycomb will be shown for the first time in public, if not at a Google event before then. You know, I don't think we'll see Honeycomb tablets until June, probably May, June, July at the earliest. And I mean, that's okay. I'm in a position with Android tablets where I'd rather have things that are good and awesome than more half-assed Samsung tabs. Another question.
Were there any, this is from Zid. With
Hi, Zid.
Z-I-D-D. Were there any good smaller HD TVs, like 26 to 32 inch?
I don't know, I didn't know those existed.
Oh, yeah, you see them at Target and stuff.
They do.
But well, the Vizio stuff, we saw was looked okay.
Okay.
They don't show that stuff at CES, really.
They do, but those are the expensive, really thin ones.
Right.
That are OLED, yeah. And I think LG had
some. The ones like as thick as a credit card, but it's $2,000.
LG had some really nice ones.
Yeah. I really, the LG LCDs looked really, I mean, I thought LG looked really good last year. I went into Best Buy intending to buy an LG TV this year. The LG LCDs look really good this year again.
But the problem with that those sizes is that they're so middle range. There's so many of those. It's hard to really do comparison.
I think there were something like 85 TVs in the LG booth this year.
I mean, if you look at the high range and you say, okay, Samsung, LG, Panasonic, what are their top 60 plus inch TVs? There's only going to be one model that you can really compare. If you look at the 26 to 32 inch, even up to 40 inch. Too many models. It's.
I don't think. I mean, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if the likes of Samsung and Panasonic even make TVs that small. Like once you get to 2632, you get down into like Vizio, Westinghouse.
Well, Panasonic is opened an LCD factory specifically for small TVs.
Okay.
So they're doing gamer focused TVs that are like super bright, super high refresh rate, good contrast ratio, all that stuff. For it seems like dorms and people who want a second TV for gaming, stuff like that.
If you go through all the announcements for, I know, like LG, Panasonic, Sony, it was something like 60 new models like each of them released. Like it was a lot. And even though they don't have them on the floor, like they definitely are coming. We just don't know if they're being good.
And the unfortunate thing, you know, you're seeing right here about half of Team Tested on screen right now. We're talking about starting to do TV reviews this year. It's something I'd really like to do. I think it would be really good, a good fit for the site. But we're never going to be the site that reviews every TV. We're going to, at most, review the high-end. You know, we're going to try to get representative samples and review one or two from each product line.
Well, even TV review sites don't do that. They get whatever the company sends them. And this 55-inch TV is representative of the entire 8000 series or family.
Yeah.
And you expect to have similar quality, you know. Features.
Well, they have similar features and the same type glass. Yeah. So there you have it. Melissa?
So this is who I called Eugene before. He actually corrected me. It's Eugene, like G-I-N, like the liquor.
Ooh, nice. So. I don't like Jen, actually.
Did you see the weird mini blog video game things like Siftio? And what do you use those for?
I didn't see that. I saw some motion-controlled TVs. But they looked really lame.
No, this is more like a novelty, like future thing. Like, oh, you could use it as a learning device, learning tool. Western like modular world. Computers, yeah.
I don't like
it. It's kind of cool. It's like stuff you'd see at TED. Stuff out of the MIT Media Lab.
Okay. We did not see that then.
Okay. So many questions. This is from Zero Crescent. Were there any hoverboards at this?
No hoverboards. No.
Oh, well, there was an inflatable go-kart. Oh,
yeah, I was afraid I would pop the inflatable go-kart. It looked like it was sized for children.
Pretty shitty.
Yeah. It was funny. It was funny. You put a Wiimote in the steering wheel, and then you could play Mario Kart while you're so sitting flimsy. On this inflatable thing.
It was
and then incredible. Joey and Norm and I rode golf carts today, so that was pretty exciting.
Nice.
Mackie G wants to know if any Tegra 2 devices besides the Optimus 2X were shown, tablet or phone.
Oh, yeah. Acer
Tegra
had
2 was all over, yeah.
And it was in a car. Yeah, Tegra 2 was pretty big.
The LG stuff. It's even possible that the Motorola stuff we were talking about earlier will be.
I think it's going to be doubt TI. That the Motorola stuff is Tegra 2.
Ooh, the Bellagio fountains are going.
Yay!
I don't know. I can't remember if I asked this one before, but Cowgod was asking, did you get to see the new Windows Home Server app for WinFrom?
We did that.
You asked
that.
No, we did not see that.
That's right. Another Windows 7 question. Lepton asks, any comments on Windows 7 embedded running Windows Media Centers on TVs, cable boxes, set-tops?
I did not see that. That's something I would be very excited about. Although, I think that the time for Windows Media Center in its current incarnation is kind of running out.
Fuck, that's the last thing I want is Windows on my TV. My TV is like the one thing in my house that I know is like pretty reliable and will work. Like, that's the number one way you could fuck it up and put Windows on it.
Quit with the Windows bashing. Windows.
I just started. It's not like it's a long habit.
Windows, well, you do it every week, though. I mean, it's a recurring...
I don't go out of my way to bash Windows, but there's no way I want Windows on my TV. Windows, I don't want apps on my TV. And
how
I certainly
unstable
don't want Windows.
Has your Windows 7 machine been?
I haven't used it enough to really complain about it very much, although...
I'm going
to
help
I
you
hate,
build some more computers next time.
I hate Windows Media Center.
Have you used it since Windows in the Windows 7 version?
I tried to use it to when I still had a PC.
Wait,
my
Windows
primary
Media Center
computer.
Or Windows Media Player?
Well, the I tried to...
The 10-foot
like,
UI.
The overlay, right?
I'm not crazy about the UI. I'm not crazy about the Xbox Extender. I don't like that's the worst way to view videos in my opinion.
Well, you have to have specific codecs, and you really have to buy into the Microsoft codecs.
I really don't want a Windows TV.
The interesting thing about that is when you put a bunch of TV cable card TV tuners, and then you have instead of having a bunch of TiVos or DVR boxes, whatever
right,
around your house,
you get your TV.
You have one giant
stuff.
One, and then you use the Xbox as the
that's
end
great.
Point. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Isn't Embedded 7's days like numbered though? Because I mean, we have Windows 8. Coming
they haven't
for-
said.
ARM, and I feel like that's just the natural progression. Here.
I think
that would make a lot of sense.
Well, except I think you're not going to have full Windows 7 running in cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think we'll continue seeing Windows 7 embedded in like traditional embedded apps. We're not going to see it in things like tablets and phones. And stuff like that.
I've got a question about Windows. I understand why Vista obviously was a nightmare, and Windows 7 had to come out very quickly to like get them through that.
Yes.
To get them out the other side of the tunnel. And now Windows 7 is very well liked.
Mm-hmm.
But since it is very well liked, why does it seem that Windows 8 is coming so quickly? Why
well,
just be happy with 7
know,
for
why,
a while?
Right Leopard, everybody liked Leopard. Why did Snow Leopard come
yeah,
so
yeah, they're riding the momentum. If Windows,
but Snow Leopard was a fairly incremental upgrade.
So is
well,
Windows
so,
8.
So is Windows 7.
Okay.
Microsoft wants to get incremental. Vista, okay, so if you look at Windows over the last 20 years, Windows 95 was a huge upgrade. Windows 2000/XP, more or less the same thing, just different UI. Huge upgrades. Each of these are kernel updates, big kernel updates. Vista actually was a huge upgrade, added a whole bunch of support for more modern technologies, low-level BIOS, like EFI, stuff like that, SATA, Trim. I guess Trim came in Windows 7. Windows 7 was a very incremental update to Windows Vista, fixed the UAC and security problems, made them a little bit easier to manage, and improved performance, pulled out a bunch of crap from the kernel. Windows 8, I think we're going to be living off of the Windows 7 version of that kernel for a fairly extended period of time with the UI tweaks and support for new technologies and stuff like that. I think that, and I'm okay with that. I think that, you know, refreshing the OS every 2 years, 3 years is actually, I think that's really good. I think it's good for the industry.
You know what I'm hoping to see, though, is this was originally slated to go into 7, and it was called MinWin. It was that really sort of modular, tiny Windows kernel.
Well, they
that?
Kind of got that in with
they
Starter
kind of
Edition
did.
And stuff like that. But I think MinWin is why ARM Windows 8 works and why tablet Windows 8 works.
But I mean, that's the sort of thing that I'm really hoping that Windows 8 continues. Because I mean, I think that could... Because that was the complaint with Windows for a long time, was the kernel had just become this big sort of...
What was this monolithic nightmare.
Yeah, it was brutal. And I think they've reined it in a lot, but I think they could probably do even more.
Do you know who doesn't believe in MinWin? Norman Chan.
I only believe in
Max Win. Max
Win.
Win to the
winning.
Max. Yeah. Never win a minimum amount,
sorry,
always win a maximum.
I said earlier, if I could change my name.
I just made a normal.
It would be to Max Win.
Yeah. Well, I was W-Y-N-N. Very disappointed that tested contributor Lloyd Case today
made
a statement I thought went profoundly against what Norman
my,
I believe.
My belief, my personal beliefs.
When, Lloyd,
beliefs.
When Lloyd said that... What was he said? He said not losing.
I said sometimes the only way to win is to not play the game.
Right, and I said no, not playing the game is the only way to guarantee that you will lose.
Yes, and he said losing is not the same as not winning.
And I disagree with that.
And I completely disagree. Not winning, you are losing.
We just had a chat log.
If you're not first, you're last.
Questions, Internet Melissa?
I'm going back to an old question.
Take a break.
K9 earlier on in the chat had asked if there's anything interesting from MIT or Georgia Tech students.
Didn't see anything on that front this year.
Okay.
Have they been in North Hall?
We looked pretty did a pretty good pass through North Hall today.
I didn't see them either.
So. The thing that's important to remember about the show is
oh, man.
It is really
if there
really
MIT
big.
Students at the show, they went to the AVN convention.
I don't. Yeah.
That would be a movie. That would be like Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the blackjack bring down the house thing.
No.
I think a lot of those guys are banned for life.
Yeah, they're Kevin Spacey can't come to Vegas anymore.
Fab Igrid asked.
You're making I don't know how to pronounce this face.
I am. That's
Why can't people just have normal usernames?
Like XX, I'm high 420 XXX.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good internet names.
Should he sell his Kindle 3 now that Vivitech is out?
I would not. So the thing that makes the Kindle 3 good is not the technology or the. I mean, the device is great. The thing that makes Kindle 3 good is that it's hooked onto Amazon Store and.
Once again, content is what makes the difference.
I mean, that is the content trap, right? It's the same reason that Apple locked iTunes DRM so willingly is that once you bought some shit from iTunes, you're stuck on iTunes forever. Same thing for Kindle.
I want to jump in quick. Did he say Vivitech?
He did say Vivitech.
Okay, I think he's referring to the thing I posted earlier about the color e-ink. I cautioned in that article, I don't even think it's coming stateside. The point was just to talk about color e-ink in general. I don't think you want to jump Kindle at all.
I mean, if you want to sell your Kindle and then not be able to read e-books for like 3 years, yes, do that.
Color e-ink's not ready for prime time.
Color e-ink, I don't know that color e-ink is ever going to be a thing, but maybe.
Like, it was definitely nice, but
I've seen some color e-ink demos.
I have too.
But they're not
washed out
that great yet.
Yeah, and very, very slow.
This one wasn't bad, actually. It was fairly fast.
And like, which one was this?
This was the Vivitech one.
It's written up on the site right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one I threw up, yeah.
Raven Jade asked if any big e-reader updates were made, or are they holding off for now?
We had these two e-ink questions.
All right, moving on. I'm sorry, these came through really fast. I couldn't get people's names.
No, that's okay.
But, multi-touch LTD's 46-inch panels. Did you see those?
Some type of multi-touch. I think what this one is referring to were ones with like...
PCD.
BCD?
The permissive capacitive display or whatever.
Permissive,
it is.
Like bigger multi
projected capacitive display.
And lots of inputs. There was one with like infinite inputs.
I mean, the exciting thing here is that big capacitive multi touch LCDs are coming.
Yeah, I don't think it's super exciting.
How about TV apps, 3D projectors?
Oh, God.
TV apps.
3D projectors are a disaster. TV apps, I don't...
I think TV apps will be
a disaster. We did see that Lenovo PC that had the TV that ran separate from the OS, so it wasn't like a Hop-Hog TV tuner. It could actually run the TV when the computer was off and run the computer... Well, of course, you could run the computer when the TV was off. I mean, I guess that's cool. It seems like a dorm room solution. I'm not really super sure.
Was it just like switching inputs?
No, it ran in a window on the screen.
Oh.
So it was writing in... Somewhere to the monitor, either writing into the video card in the frame buffer level, or writing into the display somewhere between the video card and the display. I don't know exactly how it worked.
Can you actually capture that then?
Yeah, you could capture it. It works. It had a driver access to a different. It was interesting.
Okay,
it was in that video, the Lenovo video.
That'd make a cool write up.
You were wandering around looking at something else. I can put you in touch. Well, remind me when we're back, and I'll put you in touch with those guys, and we'll get the questions.
No big Samsung announcement. Did LG rule the show?
I think Panasonic ruled the show this year.
I think you're talking about cell phones. In terms of cell phones, Samsung makes their announcements at CTIA. LG makes way more phone announcements. Samsung did have
Nexus S.
It does have the Nexus S, which they announced
brand
before.
New. Yeah.
But all they did was the Galaxy Player, and they'll wait until March.
So the Galaxy Player is the iPod Touch of Samsung Galaxy S phones, right?
Yes.
So it's a no cell phone, Wi-Fi only kind of smartphone, an app. /music/media device.
Do you think that'll do well?
No, not at all. The worst thing about Android is the way it handles media playback. The Samsung Media Hub stuff is pretty good comparatively speaking. But really, if you're buying something to view media, then iPod Touch is the thing to buy.
What do you think of Windows Phone 8, and when will it come out? Any new hardware required?
I think that it is really cute that people are already looking forward to Windows Phone 8.
Windows Phone 7
is like a month and a half old. the good thing that did come out of the keynote is, you know, Microsoft's gotten a lot of shit about Windows Phone 7 not selling particularly well. When they're coming into this market really crazy late, I think a lot of the people who are planning on buying smartphones probably already have them. So you're looking at breaking into an industry that has a 2-year upgrade cycle. Ballmer said in the keynote that they are pot committed on Windows Phone 7. And he's right, they have to be, because smartphones are the future.
It's not a mitigation, though, is it? It's like, well, you can't. Windows Phone 7s don't seem to be selling very well. But Ballmer can't just say, oh, yeah, but that's just because we came into the market really late. I'd be like, yeah, you fucked up. You came into the market really late.
I mean, the thing is, they know that they fucked up. The good news is Microsoft, look at the way they I really think that Windows Phone 7 is very similar to the Xbox situation. They came into the home console market crazy late. They spent billions of dollars making it happen, and now they're in a market-leading position.
Well, it's because they adopted one technology way before everyone else did.
Right.
And two, HD and internet.
And
they were also big innovators in the console space. I don't know if you could really say that Windows Phone 7 is innovating to the same degree.
Well, they're working with that. That's the intention, I think. I think that by eschewing the app, wall of apps metaphor and going to present your data instead of, letting you know that you have a Twitter
icon on your homepage. They're also against many more competitors than just.
That is true.
Bigger crowded marketplace.
And it's an older, it's a bigger market.
Yeah, it's not just Sony and Nintendo.
Matt Braga?
I know that Microsoft said that they don't want to go tablet with Windows Phone 7, but I mean, do you think they can really...
Did they say that?
I'm pretty sure I've heard that. I swear I've heard that, but I mean...
I think that's something that they have given themselves an out, so right now... Resource wise, they're committed to Windows 7 tablets.
Right.
But I think they've never firmly stated, like Jobs would say, that they're not doing one or the other, and they could give themselves an out.
I think we could next year even see Windows Phone 7 tablets and Windows 7 tablets both on similar architectures, but at low end and high end.
I think, the list of consumption and production.
The list of companies that have the technical ability and the marketing financial backup to mount a serious challenge to the iPad. It's obviously a very, very short list.
Yeah, Microsoft.
And Microsoft is one of those companies, which is why I'm wondering why the hell, if I'm Steve Ballmer, I'm bringing in my various...
you're probably sweating profusely.
Saying, build me a fucking tablet that challenges the iPad, give me a Windows Phone 7 tablet variant, and let's take these fuckers on. Remember, why is that not happening?
It's taken them like 4 years to make Windows Phone 7 a phone OS and get the hardware in line.
It's like a big lumbering cruise ship that takes like 10 hours to slow down before you can even change course.
Oh, yeah.
Internally,
hey, we're going to get to Japan 3 days from now. Fire up the reverse thrusters.
Basically.
Yeah. Matt Braga?
With Ballmer and Microsoft in general, I think the problem now is... do we continue with what Norm said, that trajectory of making tablets that are also act as computers, or making tablets that act more like the iPad? Because, I mean, the iPad has done very, very well, and say what you will against Apple's, sort of very restrictive walled garden approach, but it's worked well on the tablet space.
So Falcon asks, how long before tablets replace PCs for basic computing needs?
Basic computing needs?
Well, for basic computing needs, it's already happened.
Yeah.
Well... There's a price differential, the definition
of the word basic,
right,
and definition of what you mean by replace, completely replace, partially replace, in certain situations, on the couch.
Well, basic to me means email, web,
Yes, and the iPad you could argue, is completely replaced.
Absolutely. Maybe not for us. I know many people use iPad as their only, primary and only computer.
This is a truck metaphor situation.
I have a lot of questions from user Winsword.
Okay, pick one.
Pick one. You only get one question.
One. Okay, well, his most recent question was, any major speaker companies there and any new tech fidelity to go along with
it? Oh, boy, he's going to be sad because we didn't look at any audio stuff at all.
So, yes, hella speaker companies, both gaming and home audio and real big speaker.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we did not.
That's got to be the hardest stuff to show off, isn't it? With all the clamor that's going on around the
show.
You
have to wear earplugs in that section.
Do they have sound? Can they create soundproof rooms?
They do.
Big buildings. Yeah. We did talk to some earbud people, but knowing that particular user, I don't think he really cares about earbud people.
You know what there was a lot of is, a lot of companies seem to be pushing those soundbars with increasing frequency.
So I tested those soundbars before. Norm is incredibly skeptical about them. I meant to go seek those people out, and we just didn't have time to do it.
I'm cynical about them. I'm curious, though, to see if they work.
Yeah, I'll contact some of those guys and see if we can get a roundup of those going. Because some of them are really good. I've tested multiple SKUs in the past. The Yamaha one with like 80 speakers is totally rad, works really well, assuming you have the right kind of room. Like if you have a weird shaped room, they don't work well at all. If you have a square room, your TV's on one wall, there's a straight wall behind you, they work really well. Some of them are fake. The Polk one was notably bad. It has two RCA stereo inputs, so there's no way you can get positional sound out of that, and it does a really half-assed job doing Dolby Pro Logic.
The problem I find with a lot of these guys trying to demo the sound bars is that they don't have the room set up for them. Because the whole point is to have these speakers positioned so that they bounce off your walls.
Right.
And yet they're sitting in the middle of an open show floor.
Right.
Like it's completely acid.
Booth design is a whole other issue.
I don't think we should take too many questions.
Yeah.
There's one more I did see that actually is kind of cool. At Relevant CES, what company had the most extravagant or expensive looking display?
Oh, man. So okay. So the runner is here.
Okay.
Our LG, enormous video wall, huge video wall, like probably 60 TVs.
No, no, no. Display, as in like single display.
Oh, you're talking about
those. Like a 200-inch plasma screen or something?
So Panasonic
had a 103-inch plasma display.
150-inch.
50-inch.
They had 150 and 85. The 103 is a real product, something you can actually buy for like $60,000 or $70,000.
Yes. Mm.
The 85 is, I think, $30,000.
Yes.
Both of those require 220-volt power to where you put them in. So like, you need a dryer plug.
Yep.
And then the third one was a 150-inch, 153 maybe, $500,000 display. They didn't know what kind of power that thing needed. I assumed you needed some sort of flux capacitor, maybe some plutonium.
That's what they had behind the main stage at their booth. So Panasonic had that 150-inch. LG's big thing on display was Samsung with the super LG.
Samsung super and LG had competing big
75-inch LED backlit LCDs, which were super nice, but only 75-inch, half the size of Panasonic's.
Yeah.
Sony did not have anything super impressive except they had a 90-foot LED wall.
Here's the thing.
Color wall.
I'd much rather see impressive real technology that might actually... I'd rather see future tech that might actually end up being something real one day than ludicrously oversized TVs. I mean, once you get above about 70 inches, I think most people couldn't actually accommodate that in their home.
That's a good segue, actually. We weren't able to film this, but we got to try out Sony's...
Did we talk about this?
Was that yesterday?
You were drunk.
You were loaded.
You were hammered.
And that's everything on my list as well. Before we go, best in show for you, Braga?
Atrix.
Best in show, Norm?
I think toss it between the Atrix and the Razor.
What's the Atrix?
Atrix is Motorola's Android phone on AT&T.
Motorola's Folio.
It's the one with the computer that you slide the phone in.
Gary doesn't know about that.
Oh.
It's Motorola's super Android phone on AT&T with a really high res screen and some cool docking features.
Is it a phone or a tablet?
Phone.
It's a phone. It's a phone with a web top OS. It's a phone that becomes a laptop or a desktop or an entertainment streamer.
By docking.
How does it become a desktop?
We're not going to go into it.
Yeah, we've already done it. Watch the show.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm not going to ask you. Your best in show is Blackjack.
Blackjack and Swedish massage.
Best thing you've seen in Vegas?
Oh man, the best one single thing. What would that be?
Your girlfriend's watching, Gary.
the full house that I got in the poker tournament today looked pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, won $314 on that hand.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Best dinner.
Best thing I saw, Vetrix. Atrix.
Atrix.
I think that is. I don't know if it's going to end up being any good in real life. It may end up being utter shit.
I think
that it's really promising. It's something new and different.
Motorola has had a lock on the high-end, like popular Verizon's Android phones.
They've made a couple missteps. I think the way they handled the rooting situation on Droid X was a mistake. It seems like they've realized that.
And also the way they handled the release of the Droid 2 and the Droid X at the same time.
Right.
Also a mistake. But AT&T users finally will be able to get something that's not just a clone.
A shitty Samsung phone.
Android is just becoming so ubiquitous. Do you think that now, as we go into the future, beyond obviously Apple and BlackBerry, who have their own systems, that all the other phone companies have now just given up? They're not going to develop their own OS anymore.
Symbian,
they'll just
still
use Android.
Symbian, Nokia's still
working. Yeah, but Symbian's a joke.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Whitta. I don't want that hate mail.
Directed to @GaryWhitta on Twitter. When your own fanboy bloggers that run Symbian Webstart start shutting down their blogs because they're saying, I can't take this anymore from Nokia. Their OS is so bad. That's when you know you have a bad OS.
Here's the thing. I haven't used a Symbian phone in 8 years probably, so I don't feel qualified to say. I also haven't seen anything.
But like Samsung and Motorola, it's just all Android now. They're not
Samsung, Motorola, HTC, LG. Seems like
they're not in the business of creating phone OSs anymore.
Well, why would you if you get something that's awesome for?
Well,
free?
That's what I'm saying. This is the Android effect is what it's creating.
Let's take this debate offline because Symbian is a pointless topic, and tell the readers what they have to look forward to for the rest of the year.
Okay, so a ton of stuff coming. Let's see, we have LG booth tour went up today. I don't have my tablet in front of me. Hold on.
Okay, just expect
casual talk.
Today is Saturday. We're going to put a recap video that we've been doing recaps tomorrow.
Daily
recap for Sunday. But Sunday is going to be pretty much a dead day. We're driving back, so we're going to have
11 hours
update on the website.
My voice is gone.
I don't think we're going to do a live stream, unfortunately, since we're pushing through the night tonight. We might maybe sometime this evening we might do a live stream off our iPhones.
No,
I don't think anybody wants to see that.
No. Well, you're gonna be in casinos, so you can't.
That's true. You certainly can't.
So we'll be sleeping tomorrow, but we'll have a ton. I think we still have a dozen CES videos that have not finished edited or have not gone up yet. Yeah. Those will roll out this coming week. We did get one question here about whether we saw the old Max PC crew. I'm gonna end my bit with a teaser. Yes, but you'll have to wait for
Stay
that.
Stay tuned.
You'll have to wait for that.
Stuff that went up today. LG booth tour from yesterday. That's the refrigerator, LCD TVs, passive glasses. It's their cool motion remote. We talked about that last night. I think that's really neat. I think it's an exciting step in remote controls. The hands-on with the Sony 3D headset. These are the Jordy LaForge / Cyclops goggles. I'm going to warn you, there are special effects in this video. You should watch that. Day 2 wrap-up, I think it's one of the best things. If you watch nothing else, watch the wrap-up videos. They give you a little taste of what it's like to go out and see all the crazy shit that we see every day on the floor.
Well, not only that, we don't have the resources, or we don't necessarily want to produce full, like, 3-minute, 5-minute long
videos.
Trust
me, the last thing you want to see is a 3-minute video about some
about me interviewing Hello Kitty. But all our random footage that we don't have time to put in a full video, that's all the recap videos. Rewatch those, watch those. They're great. Joey and Anna did a great job with them.
I got to sit down yesterday, maybe the day before. I can't even remember now. See, a million years ago in Vegas time, 32 hours ago in the real world, with Bree Prentice, the mad scientist behind MakerBot Industries, and we really geeked out. I mean, I watched that video today. We are giant nerds, both of us. And it's a good video. You should totally check it out. Norm does something magical at the beginning of that video. of course, we've talked about the Human Touch massage chair.
I think that's the best video.
That might be the video, not the product of show, the video of show.
Yeah, it could be the video.
That's the best work we've done so
video
far.
Video of yeah. show. We'll let the viewers decide.
Yeah. Herman Miller, we've got other stuff coming up. We've got more booth tours coming later next week. Samsung, Panasonic. Some more Sony stuff, I think. Maybe not actually more Sony stuff, because we couldn't shoot a lot of that. I'm forgetting other stuff.
It's really tons of...
The Hydra video will be up soon.
I want to see that.
The Atrix video is coming.
Yep.
We have full videos of a lot of stuff that we talked about today. The Robot Pavilion, I think we may or may not have a full video of that. It's unclear.
The Lady Gaga glasses.
Lady Gaga
I don't want to list them all.
Gorilla Glass full video.
I don't want to list them all.
There's just
so much content.
It just keeps coming.
Metric assloads of content.
Norm tasering the vigilante
taser video.
Norm.
Yeah. Anyway, checkbacktest.com all next week.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Please tell your friends.
Follow us on Twitter. Thank you so much for watching the live show this entire week.
And hold on, we got to thank everybody for this is great CS content this week.
It's
we had a killer team. Anna and Joey, you didn't see much of behind the camera, sitting on the computers. I'm going to go turn the camera around.
Working
right now.
Even now at this very
moment.
Don't break it. Anna's going to do it. Turn the camera around. Then run back here and sit where you were, because literally. Like, I come out at 3 o'clock in the morning to pee, and one of them is sitting in front of a computer with headphones on, staring intently at a screen, kind of nodding.
This is the SNL
Are they getting paid overtime for this?
Fuck no.
Shh.
None of us.
Don't give anybody any ideas. Okay, turn it back on. Back on me.
This is a
screen and a
That's
screen.
That's us. Oh, my God, Inception.
Oh, my God. We need to go deeper.
No. Oh,
no,
I'm sitting
levels,
oh, I just sat on my iPad. Oh, no, my God. Yeah.
This is our SNL bit where the music comes.
Internet
comes.
Melissa.
Yes,
on the
thanks
couch.
To Maroon 5.
Hold on. Internet Melissa on the chat a couple of nights also is responsible for us getting places.
Yes.
And she's brought us food and Red Bull and vodka and beer and made sure that no one dies.
I want to thank all the Whiskey team back home.
Yeah.
Comic Vine, Screen.com. We took all your equipment. You guys have been doing great without us.
Yeah.
Thank you for Matt B.
We've never met Matt before. This is the first time we met Matt. It's been great.
Flying from Canada. Next year, he can gamble next year. Join us at the tables.
Yes. And of course, Gary Winter for coming in on vacation.
Always
happy to cut into my vacation for you guys.
Yeah, we love you, man.
Now, the big question, Norm, is this still the plan? No sleep till San Francisco.
No sleep till San Francisco.
I don't believe it.
You're going to get in the car and be asleep in 8 minutes. But here's the thing, Gary.
Well, no, you can sleep in
Hold on.
Truck.
Yeah.
But
no sleep tonight.
Since you're getting on the road early and I've got an early flight in the morning, we know we're going to be up late.
Push it through.
It's like, it's better to get no sleep than just a couple of hours. So we're going to push through. We're going to gamble.
I'm not committed to this because I have to drive tomorrow.
We don't gamble.
We win.
Oh, boy.
All right.
So here's the thing, Gary. At this point,
you've made kind of an emotional commitment to the testees.
I have.
You're an honorary member of Team Tested.
I'm honored to, have that honorific.
I mean, that means we don't pay you, but we expect you to be around for content.
Yeah, there's no honorarium.
Right. Well, maybe, I mean, we'll buy dinner tonight, you know.
There you
we
go.
Can do that.
Appreciate that.
And of course, the ineffable Norman Chan
is a
nonstop content machine.
I'm waving because we're...
Thank you. Play us off music.
Buffet,
How does the Saturday Night Live playoff music go?
Oh, no.
Okay, everybody stand up. We all talk and we like look around.
Black
and it's like, oh, yeah.
Black Eyed Peas.
Okay, great
show. Thanks for the Black Eyed Peas.
Bye, guys.
It's been a great time.
Bye.
It's been an incredible week.
It's been a great show. And somebody, for the love of God, kill the stream. Keep talking. Keep talking.
Kill it.
Bye. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Lady Gaga.
Freezing at the end of Police Squad.
Hi there. I didn't see you.
That's it.
Sometimes we do stuff that's awesome. Sometimes we do stuff that's just dumb and stupid.
That's it.